stations are tuned in to.
Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Damn Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global. Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you. All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here I am. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Our point was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. I enjoyed it, baby. I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Welcome to the show. I am Brian Hammer Jackson, and welcome to the show. This is Hammer Radio Network, Hammer Radio 96.7. This is our first broadcast this week. I've been working on other projects, so I'm out of sort, but we have a great show today. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. If you'd like to come on and come in the studio, it's very easy to do. All you have to do is call the number, and I'll give you the number. Here we go. Are you ready? Here's the number, 319-527-6099. That's 319-527-6099. That'll get you in the studio, and that'll get your voice heard around the world. We're doing really good. Our ratings are up, even though I haven't been on the air for about a week. But it's glad to be back on the air. We have a great show. I mean, we used to talk about politics for like 2 years straight, and Trump was a great subject. We didn't talk about it for a while because we figured this old dude is retired in Florida. So I stayed away from it, but I can't. He's back in the news. And we're going to talk about it because this is going nuclear. Here's the headline. Trump knew that voter fraud claims were a lie. It's about to go nuclear on Republicans. And what that means is that all those Republicans, including really, well, I read the body. Trump administration took a deposition. And when you do that, you have to tell the truth. They took a deposition about the big lie that the election was stolen, including Rudy Giuliani and Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, Rudy took one deposition before, and judge called him in and asked him to his face, do you think there was any wrongdoing with the election? Do you think the election was stolen? And Rudy says, no. As soon as it said no, then he went outside, held a press conference. You remember that, right next to a porn shop, saying it was stolen. Well, they had enough of that bullshit. So they called Rudy back in, and all these other Republicans were saying the fraud is going in, and the fraud is happening, and it's rigged, and so on and so forth. I think there's like 15 of them, and they all took depositions. Now, the mainstream media is trying to find out and release it when they took it, but they want to release it to the public to expose these people. And the reason that's important is because our next story is Trump knew about the voter fraud claims were a lie. He knew. How did he know? Well, he vetted. His administration and himself, he vetted people and governors and so on and so forth after the election, or I think before the election, or on the election, you get more detail, to look into the voter fraud thing. And his own administration said there was no voter fraud going on. But Giuliani kept saying, let's just say it's fraud anyway. So they went with it. So this is why it's so important regarding the deposition. Because you'll find out when they admitted that they knew nothing was going on with the election, but they kept on with the lie anyway. The lie to the people, a great fundraising campaign, so on and so forth. So the news media is trying to get their hands on that deposition and the dates and who to find out they really knew and that they concocted this thing to fundraise and to try to take over democracy. That's why it's so important. And it says here in the body, Representative, and it's taken effect already, because Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene says she regrets believing the QAnon conspiracy. She said that in February. The news will get to the disposition, I think it will be Friday, I said Saturday, but the news will get the disposition Friday, I think, and make it public. All that money these people were raising, Trump was raising and other Republicans were raising on the fraud, the big lie, was a scam, and will be proven tomorrow. And right now we have the Arizona recount that they said they found some interesting things that, again, was based on a lie. So now my pillow guy and all these other conspiracy theorists were taking this Arizona recount, and they're going to tell us the results, I think either today or tomorrow, based on the big lie. So that's why the headline is, it's about to go nuclear. It's going to be interesting. Again, the Trump campaign knew voter fraud claims were baseless soon after election loss. And we're going to hammer this out. So if you'd like to come into the studio, you know the number. The number is 319-527-6099. Talk to the hammer. And we'll be right back while everybody, I give people a chance to come into the studio. And we'll be right back in 2 minutes. If you'd like to come into the studio, we'll get the show started. 319-527-6099. I am Brian Hammer Jackson, and we'll be right back after this.
Hey, hey, hey. I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? You and your ass invited. So go on and get to clapping. Go pop a phone. Pop it for me, turn around and drop it for a plan, drop it for me. I'll rent some beach house in Miami, wake up with no damage, stop to tell for dinner, Julio served that salmon. You got it if you want it, got it if you want it, said you got it if you want it, take my wallet if you want it now, jump in the Cadillac,
girl, let's put some miles on it. Lucky for you, that's what I like, that's what I like. Sex by the fire at night, silk sheets and diamonds all white. Lucky for you, that's what I like, that's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like, that's what I like. I'm talking trips to Puerto Rico, say the word and we go. You can be my flica, girl, I'll be a flico, mama. I would never make a promise.
promise that I can't keep. I promise that your smile ain't gonna never leave. Sharpest breeze in Paris, everything 24 carats. Take a look in that mirror. Now tell me who's the fairest. Is it you?
Is it me?
Say it's us, and I'll agree. For you, that's what I like. That's what I like.
funk you up. Uptown funk you up. I said uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you suck dead and flown it. If you freak dead and own it. Don't brag about it, come show me. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you suck dead and flown it.
Listening to Hammer Radio Network. Just got my little coffee. I'm ready to go. Thank you for listening. Again, you're going to need the number 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio to start the show. So as I was talking about was shit's about to hit the fan with the Republicans. I rarely do this, but I'm going to go to Rachel. I want you to listen to her. This is a show she had yesterday, and maybe she can explain it a little better. Here's Rachel Maddow's, everyone.
The Rachel Maddow Show, weeknights at 9 Eastern on MSNBC.
Thanks, you're at home for joining us this hour. Happy to have you here. We are following breaking news tonight out of the great state of Alaska, where Alaska's Republican governor, Mike Dunleavy, has just announced that Alaska has now become the second state in the country to declare that all its hospitals statewide will now be shifting to crisis standards of care. What that means in English is that hospital care is now being rationed at hospitals in Alaska. In practical terms, that means that people who are less likely to survive get moved down the priority list in terms of whether or not they get an ICU bed, whether or not they get certain intensive forms of treatment and care. People less likely to survive will not get those resources. They will be moved down the line. Instead, in an effort to try to save as many human lives as possible, these hospitals now have permission and guidance to prioritize giving treatment to people who are more likely to live. And that is as bad as it sounds. It means that some people will just not be admitted to the hospital, even though they need to be hospitalized. Other people who might previously have been given curative treatment, treatment to cure them and save them, instead will just be given comfort care to try to make things easier for them. And it's a sort of anodyne phrase, crisis standards of care, but it is a terrible thing. And it is a thing that we really haven't confronted before as a country. Now we've got it in place, though, in one of Montana's major medical centers. They moved to crisis standards of care this week. We've also got it in every hospital in the state, in Idaho as of last week, and in every hospital in the state in Alaska as of tonight. And all of this, of course, is because of the huge influx of very sick COVID patients, swamping and effectively breaking the hospital systems in these states so that they can no longer provide care along the ethical and sort of technical guidelines that they've always followed. And it's not just COVID patients who are going to suffer from this rationing in these hospitals. It means everybody who needs to go to the hospital for any reason has reason to worry. The Idaho Statesman newspaper recently described this crisis standards of care system for Idaho as being like the whole state was being put on a DNR. The whole state was being given a do not resuscitate order, whether you wanted one or not. The Anchorage Daily News yesterday described what's been happening at Alaska's largest hospital in Anchorage, where they actually, as an individual hospital, started crisis standards of care before the whole state did tonight. Anchorage Daily News reporting, quote, a triage team using a specific formula to prioritize patients most likely to recover has been asked to help with patient care decisions. In one decision, there were four patients who required a special kind of dialysis called continuous renal replacement therapy. Four patients required that, but only two of the four could get it. Of the two patients who did not receive the therapy, one of them died. The other one survived but remains hospitalized now in a palliative care setting, in a comfort care setting. Another decision at the hospital involved deciding which patient got intubated because there were not enough beds in the ICU. Another patient died at a rural Alaska hospital because they needed cardiac catheterization. They were, quote, waiting for a bed to free up so we could transfer them, said the hospital chief of staff. Again, that patient died. Providence, Alaska, the hospital that previously set up crisis standards of care, they set up a 3-person wellness team at the hospital to help their own doctors and nurses who are struggling with these kinds of decisions. Because imagine if you were a doctor or a nurse trained to provide extreme, going to, trained to go to the most extreme end of the range possible to save the lives of your patients. And you're now in a situation where you're triaging people. You're not likely to make it. You're less likely to make it than these other people, so we're going to treat them, not you. I mean, the psychological effect that that has on doctors and nurses in this circumstance cannot be overstated. And that has been the terrible situation this week already at Alaska's largest hospital, Providence, Alaska, in Anchorage. But now, tonight, the state's governor has announced that all hospitals in the state are moving to those same standards. And, you know, it may not just be Idaho and Alaska. Hospitals in Kentucky, hospitals in Montana, and several other states have reported that they are teetering on the brink of the same designation. But this announcement in Alaska tonight is new, and we have never, as a country, had multiple states rationing care like this simultaneously. We've just never had it. And forgive me for just putting this in personal terms for a second, but, you know, people say getting vaccinated or not is a personal decision, as if it only affects you. I hear that a lot explicitly, in particular on conservative media and from conservative politicians. It's a personal decision. It only affects you. Well, these dire circumstances we are now seeing in multiple states, unprecedented crisis standards of care statewide in 2 states in the country and in additional hospitals in other states, rationing of care so that people who would live with normal hospital standards are dying instead. I mean, these circumstances in multiple states now show that your personal decision whether or not to get vaccinated, it has really tangible consequences for a whole lot of other people who aren't you. I mean, to put it in blunt terms, the personal decision by someone in Alaska to not get vaccinated right now ultimately results in someone else dying in Anchorage because that person can't get the dialysis treatment that would save their life and that they'd otherwise be able to get if it weren't for the hospitals being overwhelmed by people who are sick specifically and only because they chose not to get the shot to protect them from COVID. I mean, they keep saying, you keep hearing it as this mantra on the right, even from people who ought to know better in the conservative media, that it's a personal decision, that it only affects you, that it doesn't affect people who aren't vaccinated. Well, tell that to the family of the person who just died in Anchorage because they couldn't get that form of dialysis they would otherwise be able to get because that hospital is overrun. And the standards that allowed that death to happen are now in place statewide in every hospital in Alaska and in every hospital in Idaho, and they're going into effect in other individual hospitals in other states now too. That is because people are not getting vaccinated. Your decision whether or not to get vaccinated can be a life or death determining factor for somebody else who did get vaccinated but gets in a car wreck or needs dialysis or needs a heart catheterization procedure, something that they won't be able to get because of all the unvaccinated people filling up the hospitals. This is not complicated math. And it is not, it may be a personal decision, but it's a decision that has consequences way beyond your personal corporeal self. Yeah, forgive me, I'm sorry, but the situation in Idaho and Alaska is a story of national significance. It needs a lot more attention than it's getting, and it should affect all of our thinking about how we are taking care of ourselves and our loved ones when it comes to keeping ourselves from getting COVID. The government is in the middle of its approval process right now on vaccine booster shots. The FDA just an hour or so ago announced that they've approved the use of Pfizer booster shots for people age 65 and up, also for people with health factors that make them high risk for severe COVID, and also for people who have, quote, frequent institutional or occupational exposure to COVID. Again, just within the last hour, the FDA approving booster shots for those groups tonight. We're going to have the latest on that decision. We're also going to talk tonight with a doctor who's both a COVID expert and who is also part of the U.S. military response to try to rescue these overrun hospitals. Timely discussion. That's ahead tonight. We're also going to be speaking tonight with one of the members of Congress who is at the White House today. in a long series of meetings between President Biden himself and lots of different Democrats from both the House and the Senate, Democrats who need to figure out amongst themselves how they are going to pass this legislation, which they all supposedly want to pass, that includes the bulk of President Biden's agenda on infrastructure, on climate change, on support for childcare and all sorts of things. All of these Democrats supposedly support all of these items and all of these priorities. They have legislation before them that they can pass that would make these things a reality. It looks like they can pass it even without any Republican support. The question is, can the Democrats get out of their own way and do it? President Biden is now personally trying to broker the discussions and the decisions among these different groups of Democrats to get them all to yes. Progressive members of Congress.
And there's a little bit of information regarding COVID with Rachel Maddow. You know, I still have a lot of people with misinformation about COVID. As much as I talk and explain, give them facts, they want to still go with the conspiracy theory. Here's one. You know, people are still thinking that Bill Gates is part of this vaccine and people are being injected and with some kind of microchip and Bill Gates can track you. I've been vaccinated. I took two shots, Pfizer. It was all liquid. It was no chip in it. I don't walk, and I'm magnetic, and things are sticking to my body. And then you would have to think, why would Bill Gates, if you want to go on that theory, why would Bill Gates want to do this? What is he tracking? Is he tracking your behavior so you can buy Microsoft products? There's a lot of these conspiracy theories before we get to our main story. And you're going to be surprised, as crazy as it is, crazy as these people are thinking. If I told you that, hey, don't go to that restaurant because they're putting vaccine in the salad and they are vaccinating you, what you didn't know. If I told you that, would you believe me that there's vaccine in a salad in restaurants? I'm just curious. Think about it. If I told you, don't go to whatever restaurant you have in your neighborhood, we're worldwide, but don't go there because they're putting the vaccine in the salad. It's in the salad dressing, man. It's how they're getting you. Would you think I'm crazy? Would you really think I'm crazy? Not as much. I mean, just as crazy as thinking that Bill Gates is part of the vaccine. But believe it or not, some people think that they're putting the vaccine in salad. And who's doing this? Flynn. You know General Flynn, Trump's right-hand guy. Why is he doing it? Because now he's running this chapter of QAnon. Brings in a lot of money. He wants to get into your head because it makes a lot of money. If you don't believe me, here's the story. Here's the story. So like I said to you before, if I told you that they're putting the vaccine in salad dressing, you'll look at me like I'm a fool. Some of the stuff that's going on, but listen to this.
The coronavirus vaccine. People want to know. People are talking about it's being laced with the coronavirus vaccine. People want to know. People are talking about it. In fact, Michael Flynn floated the conspiracy theory recently. Let's hear what he had to say.
You know, somebody sent me a thing this morning where they're talking about putting the vaccine into salad dressing or salad. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Have you seen it? I mean, I'm thinking to myself, this is the bizarro world, right? This is definitely the bizarro world. These people are seriously thinking about how to impose their will on us in our society.
So Just say you don't like eating salad, Michael Flynn. Like you don't, like, my wife's on my back about eating this damn salad. I want a nice steak. I want some pork loin. Don't want to eat it. Don't like the romaine. No, but it seems like he didn't actually believe that insane theory about vaccines being like, you know, salads being laced with vaccines. But
also, it ignores the eating habits of our non-coastal elites. And if we really wanted to get them, we'd be putting it in fried chicken and country gravy and corn dogs. We'd be putting them in corn dogs if we were really trying to vaccinate the masses out there who refuse to take what's good for them. We wouldn't be putting them in salad.
That's such a good point. No, take the politics or like the identity stuff out of it for a second, because it's not just about coastal elites. It's about Americans in general. Like, people
right.
in general. Like, if you're going to want to lace a food item with anything, you're not going to go with salad first. Like, why would you go with salad? I'd go with, like, soda or something like that.
We're throwing it in their Mountain Dew, Anna.
Taco Bell sauce packets, another great example. Absolutely. We're not going to put it in salad. Like, 10% of the population would be vaccinated.
Yeah, you're going to throw it in your arugula salad? Come on, bro. We know where to get you. We're going to sprinkle it in your, whatchamacallit, Golden Corral. We're going to throw it in there.
Some Cracker Barrel? Yeah.
Come on, now. We're going to secretly sprinkle it in that. We're not going to waste time with salad. What are you guys, crazy? If you wanted to vaccinate the whole New York, you'd put it on pizzas.
Oh.
We know what you guys are eating, okay? It's not salad.
Yeah.
Stop it. It's fried Oreos. Okay?
Oh, my God.
Ash makes a face in the production room. Yes, Americans eat fried Oreos.
They're insane. It's a thing. Although, it's a thing that typically happens at the county fair.
That was me being jingoistic, Ash. I was being an imperialist, just assuming that you wouldn't know what a fried Oreo was. My bad.
Oh, my God. I'm getting so hungry right now.
Thanks for watching The Young Turks. Really appreciate it. Another way to show...
So there's other stuff floating out there. Yeah. So you have Trump supporter, General Flynn, who's now head of a chapter of QAnon, who are saying that the vaccine is in your salad dressing. We have people who won't take the shot, but they rather take a horse dewormer or a cow dewormer. They have no idea what that does. But they rather take that than a shot by the CDC. And then I started thinking, how did we get here with Bill Gates? I mean, how did this rumor start? And here's Bill Gates right here. Here's Bill Gates talking for a minute.
Who are at high risk of exposure to the virus or severe illness, the boosters are...
He's supposed to be talking. Okay, here we go. He is talking now.
It doesn't pass the plausibility test in terms of what technology are they talking about. You know, why would I be involved in that? I don't get it. Where the microchips came from, I don't know. But I don't view it as, you know, it is kind of humorous in a way, but, you know, your example is where somebody's afraid of the vaccine because of this craziness, and that means that they're not going to be protecting others. They're going to be a potential source of transmission and make it harder for us to get up to the 70-80% vaccination coverage that we want to have globally to essentially bring this pandemic to an end.
And that's Bill Gates. Now, the only way I could figure that out is because of the right wing. Now, it's no big secret who controls the election. Back in the day, it used to be the Rockefellers. Now, who controls the Republicans are the Koch brothers and the Mercers. These people are like billionaires and they pour in a lot of money. They're like lobbyists for the Republicans, and they back the campaign, Trump's campaign, Rubio's campaign, very powerful people on that side. So the only way I could think of this side would probably be Hillary Clinton, Bill Gates, and that's the only way, and some other people. And that's the only way I could figure out how Bill Gates got involved in this. I'm still wondering, it's called a chip. You can feel a chip. You can feel the chip. It's nothing, and I, like I said, I've been vaccinated. Still wanted to know how. Now I know Bill Gates is involved in trying to cure HIV diseases, AIDS, a lot of other stuff. Or a lot of other billionaires are flying to the to outer space, which wasting your money because who cares? But I still wanted to know, and it's just so weird. Here's Bill Gates again talking about the vaccine. Maybe this will give me a clue how these rumors get started, what's going on. And I'm still getting over General Flynn talking about their salad, the vaccine. We're going to vaccinate you when you eat the salad. Salad dressing. But here's Bill Gates again. Maybe this will give me a clue.
About COVID at that point. And you said we wouldn't be completely back to normal until this coming fall. Does that still, we were talking only about COVID at that point. And you said we wouldn't be completely back to normal until this coming fall. Does that still feel right to you? And if so, when do you think we'll be completely back? Maybe more specifically.
Well, the good news since we last talked is the progress in the vaccines. And although in a few cases the manufacturing volumes have been hard to ramp up, overall, most of the vaccine constructs work well. The only negative news since then is the rise of the variants. And the Gates Foundation funded all these trials in South Africa. We did that not because we knew in advance some variant would show up during those trials, but we wanted safety data in Africa to convince Africans that they should consider taking the vaccine. And we wanted a population of people living with HIV to see how the vaccine worked there. Now, it turned out that as we ran that trial, we could see the variant coming in. And we saw that two of the three vaccines we were testing, Novavax and Johnson & Johnson, retained a lot of strength. And so now the discussion about do you need a third dose? Okay, if so, is it a different vaccine than your first two? Do we need to tune the vaccine? Our vaccine team is working with the government now to figure out that plan. So that is, you know, it's going to extend things a bit and, you know, cause us to be careful in our behavior. But overall, I'd still say by the fall, the U.S., particularly if we can get the message out to encourage wide acceptance of the vaccine, will avoid a fall wave, you know, which will be, you know, fantastic. Now, we need to help the whole world, and that's where the Gates Foundation funding of these Indian factories and getting huge capacity up so that the disease isn't coming back to the U.S., so we have a world economy that's going full speed that creates jobs here and just to save lives.
Bill, forgive me if you did this on national television last week, but have you gotten vaccinated?
I did. I'm very lucky. It's the first time I've been pleased to be such an old man at 65. So I just made the cutoff. So last Friday I had my second dose of Moderna, and I was lucky to have very modest side effects.
Okay. I guess that's where we got it, that he funded a campaign in Africa to get people vaccinated. I guess you can helping Africans with HIV and funding a campaign to get them vaccinated and trying to do help. I can see how the right-wing people can confuse that with Bill Gates is putting a microchip in your arm? No, not really. I need to get back to normal. 786, well, here on planet Earth, we give you the facts. Is this Miss Lisa? Hello, darling.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing? Who else is on this morning?
Well, it's really early in the morning, and guess what? You're the only one. Mm-hmm. I know three or four people are on their way, but you're the only one.
Oh, okay. Okay.
How are you?
Good morning to you, Brian. How are you?
Huh?
I'm fine, though. I'm fine, though. I'm doing pretty all right.
Yeah, you sound great.
No complaints here.
Yeah, I'm okay, but I'm not a happy fight as you are. I know you are.
Stop it.
I'm tired of, I stayed off of politics for a while, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I start getting these conspiracy theorists and they're talking about Bill Gates and that they don't want to take the vaccine and there's a chip in their arm and all this stuff, here's the latest, you know, the latest, in some states they're doing this critical care movement because it's out of control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
1,600 people are dying a day from this vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
In some states, the hospitals are being filled up. They got to a point where they can't take care of people. People are dying. They're choosing who to treat and who to let die. Now, Alaska just did this yesterday. There's so many people in their ICU that they can't treat everybody,
mm-hmm.
and they're determined who has a better chance to live. And those are the people they're treating, and the other people. You come in with, it doesn't have to be COVID, you could come in with, a heart attack.
Yeah.
They won't give you a room. You're figuring, well, you're going to die anyway, so they're not going to treat you. They'll just let you die because the beds are so full.
Oh, wow.
It got to that point. This shit is real. And it's funny when I hear people say, I won't take the shot. Don't take the shot. My job is to protect me and my family, whatever a person says or do. You're on your own. I remember when I was a kid, we used to race. I quit racing. Somebody got hurt. I'm talking about the cars. Guy came to me and said, hey, man, are you going to be there Friday? I'm going to race. He never raced before. I said, no.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, why don't you? And I knew, I tried to give it a shot. Come on, don't do this. You're stupid, blah, blah, blah. He still raced. I learned that I'll say my opinion, but I'm not responsible for you. You want to do stupid stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Free country. If you want to think that there's a chip in your arm with Bill Gates or you don't want to take the shot, you're going to die. It's plain and simple. You're going to die.
Well,
honestly,
it's not possible to put a chip in a vaccine because how many chips goes into one person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when they put in the medication, you have to put one chip, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So if they have it in the vaccine, wouldn't it be multiple chips in the fluid? How are they possibly going to put a chip?
I don't know. I'm trying to explain.
It's not possible.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't get my mind around it. I try. First of all, the vaccine is liquid, and if it's a chip, I would feel something hard there. You can see something hard go in your arm. It would move. And if it's liquid, you can see it. You can feel it moving around your arm and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Unless it dissolves. I don't know what they're thinking.
It's not possible to put – it's not possible to put one chip inside of a person with it being so much fluid coming out of a vial.
Right.
However they're getting it. If it comes in the syringe already, okay, cool. But you're putting one chip in one syringe. Okay, how big is that chip? If it's only as big as fluid, it's still not going to go through the needle. It still has to be micro, small for it to go through the needle. But it has to be as big as, you know, the chip on your debit card.
Right.
It has to be at least that size. At least that size or half that size. Let's hypothetically say half that size. How are you going to get that through a needle?
I can't wrap my head around it. I try. You know, I try to look at both sides. I know that people come in the studio, they have their opinions, and I try, and they really believe it. I know in my head saying, how does that happen? And when they try to tell me things, I'm thinking, how is that plausible? But I'm not going to tell somebody, no, that's stupid. I will try to figure it out, and then maybe I'll try to go to the other side. And like I said with the Bill Gates thing, I said, how did we get here? And then I just read in the last clip that Bill Gates said that he went to Africa and that he did a test. I mean, he was funding some kind of program to vaccinate Africans from the COVID. I'm saying maybe they got that. Maybe they can't believe that some billionaires are nice people and they want to do something like change climate, help with the climate change, or they want to help with diseases and everything. I don't know. See, and people don't understand this. It goes with centuries. For instance, if a scientist discovers something, I'm really tired, so bear with me, a cure for something or a vaccine for something, yes, part of it is he gets to put his name on it. Part of it, he could claim it. It's like discovering a new land or a new country. Yes, he can. With AIDS, with any disease, colds or whatever, there is somebody who can discover a vaccine, and they could put their name to it. I think this is Joe. I'm not quite sure. Good morning, 323. I think this is Fuck You Joe. Good morning, Fuck You Joe.
Well, you're right about one thing. You certainly can't wrap your head around a lot of stuff. So,
right. See? And I bet you you're not vaccinated. You're coughing your COVID all over the place.
Yeah, that's right. I hope you get it.
I'm not vaccinated. You little bastard. I hope you get it. Good morning, Brian. You bastard.
You know, you've got more of a chance of getting it than I do, and I'm serious because you're vaccinated. But you don't believe me, but that's okay.
No, I do not.
I know.
But
you don't
know
believe
what?
You're
No, but Joe, are you vaccinated or no?
No.
Okay. Well, you're going to get it, depending on what it does with your body.
No.
You don't think you're going to get it? You think you're going to walk around unvaccinated and not get in contact with the COVID virus?
No.
Really?
Getting in contact with it? Maybe. Getting infected with it? No. Because even the CDC has already said that herd immunity is more of a potent defense against COVID than the vaccination. So
we don't have herd immunity. We don't have herd immunity yet.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
No, I'm just saying.
I just learned that you have your opinion.
This is a talk show, and we talk about opinions, and I'm not putting your theory down. I'm just saying the reason I feel we don't have herd immunity yet is because the cases are still rising, people are still dying, hospitals are still overflowing, that if we did have some kind of herd immunity, it would slow it down a little bit because it's been here for like a year and a half. See, this is the reason why I said it.
Well, I understand that if you believe the mainstream media, even though Stanley and myself, well, Stanley has sent you articles. I haven't sent you anything, but I've talked about the same articles. I've talked to you about the developments going on in the in America. But and even though you haven't, you keep on thinking that, oh, no, we're wrong. But the nurses have already said that, there isn't any overflowing of hospitals with COVID. there are a lot of people who have been labeled as having died from COVID. That's because of the hospitals get up to $60,000 to fill out a death certificate that the person had COVID. So they filled out death certificates with people with shotgun wounds, with people who have had pneumonia, people who have had diabetes. They all of a sudden died from COVID. But what can I tell you?
Well, Joe, I, you know, the fact of the matter is that we do have people in the hospital. People are dying of complication to COVID. This shit is real. And I once believed like you did, and I was hoping that this herd immunity, and I still believe a little bit of it, that your antibodies and human beings, we've been doing this since man was on Earth, that we will build our immune system to whatever that virus or things that are out there. I believe that. But if you really want to go deep down into the conspiracy theorists, I do believe in herd immunity. But can we get herd immunity if you want to go down and say this was not a natural thing, that maybe this was a chemical warfare kind of thing that went wrong, or maybe we're not dealing with any kind of natural virus that our bodies can protect us, of our antibodies can protect ourselves. So therefore, maybe that rule goes out the window. Is there any chance of that?
Well, if there is, then why are you taking the vaccine?
Huh? What'd you say? What? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Okay. If it's a man-made kind of thing that doesn't build up the antibodies, then why are you taking the vaccine?
Well, it's been proven, and depending on what media you want to listen to, and this is coming from nurses and doctors and scientists, blah, 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 who doesn't have any kind of political party or agenda, that it can't. The vaccine does not prevent you to get COVID. I just want to say it to the people out there. It does not prevent you to get COVID. But what it does, it protects you enough that you don't end up in a hospital or die. That's the pitch.
Okay.
That's the pitch.
Yeah, well,
but you can say the same thing with cold virus, the cold shot, the cold vaccine. You can say the same thing with mumps, measles, and all the other diseases. And I keep bringing up sickle cell,
mm-hmm.
where it affected a lot of black people and everything until they came up with a vaccine, and you hardly hear about anybody with sickle cell anymore, or the whooping cough, or the mumps or the measles. Vaccines do work. If you don't, the
I don't know about
you,
that one,
Brian. Huh?
I don't know
okay.
about that one, because my family, my son and his father's side, they apparently had a trait, and my son married a girl who had a trait, and they didn't know. And that's how my granddaughter ended up with sickle cell. And if there was a vaccine for her, shouldn't she already be cured? Or if there was a vaccine, my son and his wife had already received it to where their daughter would have sickle cell?
That's true, Brian. Also, Jonas Salk before he died. Yeah, I mean,
I don't believe that there is a vaccine for sickle cell. I'm just pointing out sickle cell because I know a little bit about it because of my granddaughter.
Yeah.
But my family didn't. My son's father's side and my son. They weren't offered any type of vaccine. I didn't know anything about sickle cell until my son joined the military. That's how he found out he had tricks. They didn't give him a shot. His wife was in the military when they met. And you know how the military are. If they see something, you need a vaccine for something, they're going to get my son and his wife did not get any vaccine prior to them having a child. And I think it took them about 2 years to have a child. Deciding to have a child, it was a 50-50 chance that she would have sickle cell. They won't have another child because of it. So if there's a vaccine for that to prevent it, it was not offered to my family. So I don't know about a vaccine even being out there. stuff, because they're still running the races, you know, like for cancer, run for cancer. They have the run for sickle cell, and there's nothing going on for them right now. So I don't know what vaccine you're speaking of.
Yeah, I didn't think there was a vaccine for sickle cell, but I wasn't quite sure. Anyway, anybody can Google it to see if there's a vaccine for it.
Yeah, but Google, I don't trust Google when it comes to real
Google?
Life situations. Like I'm talking about my family and them having sickle cell. I wouldn't Google
right.
that, but I would go to the specialist that they have my granddaughter is going to. You know, to care for her.
Right.
If there was a vaccine, Mama and Daddy would have already got it before they got pregnant. When they found out they had sickle cell going through their basic training, I know my son, that's how he found out. I don't know about his wife, but when they found out they had sickle cell, if there was a vaccine to keep them from suffering.
They would have taken it. They would have been forced to have taken it, right. So how long?
Yes. So they wouldn't pass it on to their children. But
right.
that's what I'm trying to say is there was a vaccine. I never heard about that. It's been years.
I know. How long ago did it afflict your son?
How long ago? I know he's been in the Air Force for about 8 to 9 years.
Okay.
So he found out about my granddaughter's 4 now.
Right.
So let's just say if he found out he had the trait about 2 years prior to her being born, he would have had known he had sickle cell for about three years.
Okay, so maybe they got a vaccine between then and now. Who knows? I don't know about the vaccine. I never heard of a vaccine for sickle cell, but who knows? It could have been. But at the same time, vaccines, some work, some don't work as well as it's advertised. Sometimes the vaccines do even more damage than the disease itself. But it all depends if the person wants to take the chance or don't take the chance.
Right.
Anyway, Brian, I came in here because I was too bad for Stanley's around, but I read the headline that Trump knew that of the fraud.
Yeah, I'll get right to that story. Stanley was here. Stanley was here.
Today?
No, not today. He was here. When was it when I was on?
Monday.
Yeah, Stanley came in Monday.
Oh, yeah? Hey, how was it?
In fact, he came in. Is this you? Oh, he came in right when you left. Right after you left, Stanley came in.
Wait a minute, were you?
No, you weren't on. You weren't on. Were you on Monday? Well, we're talking about crime stories.
No.
Maybe we're. Okay, so when you were, was it Friday that you were on? Was it Friday or Monday?
It wasn't Monday.
It was Monday, Brian. He came on Monday because I came on Monday and King was on Monday. Ellen was on and then Ellen left after we started talking about
I was here this past Monday.
I was talking about something I can't remember. But Ellen left and then King and I stayed until the end. But Joe wasn't on Monday.
I wasn't? I wasn't. I don't know.
Right, Joe? Did you call in?
I don't think I was here Monday. No.
I don't remember hearing you Monday.
No, I don't think I was. But in any case, is Stanley okay?
Oh, yeah. He came in wired. You know Stanley. He came in wired. He came in pissed off. Stanley came
in. Good. Everything's okay with him.
Oh yeah, he came in. He came in hot, didn't he, Lisa? He came in hot. What's up, Biden? Biden? That crazy man. Stanley came in hot. Wait a minute. Good morning, the King of Kings, Mr. King Webb, everybody. King, good to hear your voice. Good to see your number. We have Miss Lisa and Joe in the studio, my friend.
Hey, King. How you
doing? Good morning, King.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Miss Lisa. How y'all doing this morning?
Good. How you doing?
Man, I've been fighting with this damn Facebook. I'm about ready to say fuck Facebook, man. These motherfuckers is really hacking, man. Shit.
What do you mean? I don't even really care if I even, I don't know.
I mean, I hate to have to let it go, but if I can't get back in, I'm just going to let it go, you know, because I'm not going to be fighting with this shit every month, you know. And,
King, what are you talking about when you say they're hacking? What do you mean?
Well, what they're doing is they're making these links where if you click on this link, they can either get into it that way, and basically all it takes is for them to get in, and then they can get in and change all your information or whatever. Or they're inboxing people talking about something. I don't even have it no more, but it's all kind of ways they're doing it now, you know. And the problem is like, I'm trying to get in so I can get to my code generator, you know what I mean? Because everything is still in my email, but without that code generator and the code, I can't even get in right now. So I'm just like, if I can't get in, I don't even care about it no more, because the thing is, Mark Zuckerberg's making a lot of money off of us when he sets that shit up,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not about to create another Facebook. I'm not about to just keep dealing with that shit, you know what I mean? So
there are other platforms you can go to.
Yeah.
But are you saying that the hacker is trying to get into your profile and change your account?
I think that's what they done tried to do. And the problem is I can log into my account, but before I can actually go onto my page, they want me to get this code sent, and the code is being sent to a whole nother number. So I can't get into it. You've probably been hacked or cracked,
and
it's a phishing operation. They want your code so that they can get into your account when you're not around. Yeah, and so whatever code they're asking for, when I request it, it goes to a whole nother number, not to my phone. So, like I said, I'm not worried about it. I mean, because I got into my other page that I shut down, but I don't really want to use that one, you know what I mean? But I might just let that shit go and not even fool with it. So,
I'm not even going to worry about it.
So.
Yeah. Facebook is expensive.
Other than that, though, my money's going pretty good. Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. I'm not too worried about that mess no more. Shoot.
Well, you know, you make copies of whatever you got.
And then take it
to another platform. There's a couple of platforms out here that are
getting
fairly big.
Yeah. That's why I really try to protect my Instagram, because my Instagram is one of my biggest platforms, you know. And so I'm really trying to keep a hold of that, you know what I mean? But this social media shit, I'm not really – before, it really meant a lot, you know what I mean, because I enjoy meeting new people. But as long as I can hop on this show and say hello to people and stuff, you know, that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anybody wants to connect with me, all they got to do is – hit me up on one of my other platforms that I can be reached on and, you know, go from there. But as long as we got this Brian show, I'm all right. I don't care about their Facebook and all that other shit, you know. To be honest, I mean, before social media, you know, people was meeting up face-to-face. People was talking on the phones, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, it's really nothing new to me. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, right now I'm just walking my kids to school. We live right down the street from the school, so I'm walking them to the school right now. And I got to go into this damn office and talk to this principal. You know, I'm really trying not to be one of them crazy fathers, but I don't know.
Yo,
I'm going to be good.
What happened? What happened?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What happened?
I went, I don't know, man. I don't think I could handle being a dad. I give you guys some props. I mean, school and all this pandemic and this bullshit and this bullying. I lose my damn mind, King.
Yeah.
Lose my mind.
I mean, it's the same little kid. He keeps going to school, messing with my daughter, and my daughter kicked his ass. Hell, you know? And so, you know, the principal, she come calling me, and I said, wait a minute, are you talking about the same little kid named so-and-so? And I caught mention the name. I said, this is the same kid that keep messing with my daughter. I said, man, I don't blame mother-daughter for telling her sister to go kick his ass. I said, because y'all keep allowing this boy to come to school. And so I just kind of told her how I felt. So, hey, good morning, good morning. So I told her how I felt yesterday. And I told her, I said, it seems like y'all trying to do y'all job, and there's really nothing y'all can do if the parents ain't talking to their child. I said, the only person that can really get through to the parents is the superintendent, you know. And the superintendent would talk to the parents and say, well, look, if this continues to happen, I will have to remove your child, you know. But I don't know. I think it's all just bullshit. I think if these principals or whoever wants to do something, they'll do something, you know. So, yeah.
Well, you're with your kids now, huh? So, well, good luck on that.
I know, right? I know. It's ridiculous. It's very ridiculous, but I don't know. They think I'm the one to play with, but I ain't the one to play with, you know? So, shit.
So, well, you know, the kid.
We'll see how it goes.
It's a male kid. He's, you know, for all you know, he may be in love with your daughter, and that's the way kids do it at that age.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, too, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking, too, but I don't know.
Well, now that she kicked his ass, she's probably in love with him.
I know, right? Yeah, because I know. Hey, what's going on, Jordan? Yeah, because I know the other kid that my son had whooped, he being all nice to my son now, so.
He better.
Yep. Yep. But, yeah, it's just really different now, you know. It's so different. Man.
We just got away from Brian to come back. He's fixing some coffee.
Yeah, he's probably getting some coffee right now.
I'm just taking it easy. I know I'm going to go to sleep in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just relaxing.
How you been doing today?
I'm fine. I'm just relaxing. I'm just listening to the show. Every time I'm on a show that's about 2 hours long or so, I relax and then I go to sleep. I go to sleep on a number of shows.
Yeah. That's good. How you been doing, Miss Lisa?
I'm just trying to relax, you know, trying to take it easy and everything, you know.
Yeah.
I still got that medical thing going on, so. Yesterday, I did the MRI, so I have to wait and see what the doctor says, what's going on, do I need another operation, or am I going to lay back and try to make this pain pass, because I have a brand new back pain now. So we'll see.
I was listening to you guys, even though I'm making coffee and I'm making chocolate. I'm listening. Yeah, I'm always here. I'm not far away. I hear what you guys talk about me behind your back. Yeah, and that fucking Brian. I can't even pee. I can't even get some coffee. He's supposed to be on, and he's not even on that much.
Fuck. You piss once every 50 minutes, then you go get coffee every 10 minutes.
Oh,
come on.
I do. Good morning, Ellie Mae.
Yeah, I know.
I do. I do.
Oh, Ellie. Sometimes. Who's Ellie Mae? Is that Ellie? Oh, Ellen?
Ellen.
Yeah.
Oh,
hey, good morning. Good morning, Ellen.
Hey.
I thought it was somebody.
Good morning, Ellen.
Ellie Mae.
Hey.
I'm thinking of Daisy Dukes when you go Ellie Mae.
But King, you know what, King?
You got your shows wrong, Joe. Ellie Mae is a Beverly Hillbilly.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she wore Daisy Dukes. He was right. He wore Daisy too. No, that was
Catherine
Falk on Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay. Well, here we go. Thank you,
okay.
Ellen
Mae,
you got.
Wear shorts.
No,
did
Ellie
no,
Mae
didn't.
She just had the cleavage. Wait a minute. She did wear shorts. Ellie Mae did wear shorts.
She didn't wear
Ellie Mae
that
was
high, Brian. Not in the 60s. They didn't have them that high.
Really? She had the cleavage.
Yeah.
They had the shirt tie.
Yeah,
I remember. But anyway, let's move on. Our main topic is Trump new voter fraud claims were a lie. This is very interesting. Joe, what I'm going to do, I'm hearing a little feedback, my friend. So stay right there. Don't. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Okay, hold on.
Let's just, all
right.
This should do it. Is it cured? How's it now?
Let me see. You know, it only happens. Oh, you did it. I think you did
it. Okay.
Good job.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
I hear a little bit, but that's okay. I don't want to lose you, Joe. Let me see here. Trump.
I'm going to go to sleep in a few minutes. That's not a threat. It's just that I'm very, very relaxed, and I'm laying down, and I know that I can go to sleep. I can go to sleep in the middle of a conversation. I've done that when I've been on the phone.
Yeah, we know. We know.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you hear my you should have heard me snore on Donnie's show about a year ago. I sounded like somebody from outer space. Oh, you have? I don't know if you heard me like that. This one was incredible. I really did sound like a space alien.
God, Jesus.
I did. I had to go back and listen to it. They said, you snored. I said, yeah. So I listened to it, and it was really strange, man. It sounded like something from outer space. So I go, holy shit. You know what? I think I'm one of the lizard people.
Yeah, you might be. You might be.
I know.
You might have been an experiment on a ship, got the bitch
that's
pregnant,
right.
Send your ass back to Earth.
I know.
That's,
they shipped me
that's
down
their abortion.
On one of those little pods. I know.
Exactly. That's their abortion. That's alien abortion. Send your ass back. Here we go.
My back. Okay, we've aborted Joe.
Here we go. Trump's campaign knew voter fraud claims were baseless soon after the election loss. They knew about this shit. And they knew about this shit because Trump vetted the people, the governors, and he vetted people and talked to people regarding the election. But he continued to peddle the lies about the fraud in the 2020 election up until now, almost a year after the ballots were cast. The reason this is going to – people say, well, prove it. I'm waiting for Stanley to come in because I know he is. When people say prove it, well, here's how we can prove it. Well, what happened was that they called in 15 people, and they took a deposition, including Rudy Giuliani and that Marjorie Greene, QAnon bitch. And when they called them in, if they lied, they could, you know, there's repercussions of the lie. When you lie to Congress and you lie to this, you can get your license suspended or go to jail. So they told the truth. And when they called in Rudy, and they asked him point blank, Do you believe that an election was rigged? Do you believe it was stolen? He says, no, it was not. This is all in the deposition, and it's really hard to get. Well, apparently the news agencies, including Fox, are trying to get the depositions of these people. And even Trump knew that there was no voter fraud, whatever. And you're going to hear from deposition people close to Trump in conversations. So what's happening now is that the news is trying to get all this deposition, and they think they're going to have it tomorrow. So the world will know that Trump knew that there was nothing. Rudy Giuliani was the one who said, we don't give a fuck. Let's keep saying that it was a fraud, and they keep saying that it was this and that. And everybody advised Trump not to do it, but Trump took Rudy Giuliani's advice. That's part of the deposition that the news are trying to get their hands on. So there'd be no mistake that it's some made-up conspiracy from the left. Well, what happened was is that what news is this? This is Reuters broke the news, and it's going mainstream. And here it is. This is when Joe goes to sleep because I like to tell him a bedtime story, and I tuck little Joey in, and he listens to my voice, and, you know, little Joey. Well, here we go. Donald Trump's advisors continue to level false allegations against the Dominion voting. That's very important, the Dominion voting system, because the Dominion voting system is suing Rudy, Marjorie, and some other people for billions of dollars for giving misinformation about their machines. And Fox News got so scared. I wish I could play it. I think I'll find it and I'll play it. When the pillow guy came on Fox News and started talking about the Dominion voting systems, the Fox News guy said, stop it, stop it. And the guy and the pillow guy kept talking, and the Fox News said, I'm out of here. And he walked off. He got out of his chair on the air. I'm out of here. I don't want to hear it. Because the Dominion people were suing these bastards. And here it is. According to the emails contained in the document, Zach Parkinson, then the campaign's deputy director of communications, he reached out to the subordinates on November 13, asking them to substantiate or debunk several matters concerning Dominion. The next day, the emails show Mr. Parkinson received a copy of a memo cobbled together by his staff from what largely appears to be news articles and public fact-checking services. Even though the memo was hastily assembled, it rebutted a series of allegations that lawyer Sidney Powell and others were making in public. And it says here, it found that Dominion did not use voting technology from the software company Smartmatic in the 2020 election, that Dominion had no direct ties to Venezuela or George Soros. And it said, and that there was no evidence that Dominion leadership had connections to the left-wing Antifa activists, as Ms. Powell and others have claimed. According to the Times, it is unclear whether Trump himself saw the memo at the time. Regardless, the former president lies and about voter fraud have been repeatedly fact-checked by numerous news outlets, and he has continued to spread them. Again, this is important because when they get their deposition, you're going to hear it from them, and they're going to admit, no, there was no voter fraud, Rudy and other people. Well, this is what happened. Well, this is 2 days ago. Newly released court documents show that Donald Trump's 2020 presidential campaign knew within weeks of the election that the accusations against the Dominion voting system were false. That's what the New York Times reports. 2 weeks after the 2020 election, a team of lawyers closely allied with Donald J. Trump held a widely watched news conference at the Republican Party headquarters in Washington. At the event, they laid out a bizarre conspiracy theory claiming that a voting machine company had worked with an election software firm, the financier George Soros, and Venezuela to steal the president contest from Mr. Trump. But there was one problem for Trump's team. According to the court documents released on Monday, By the time the news conference occurred on November 19th, Mr. Trump's campaign had already prepared an internal memo on many of the outlandish claims about the company, the Dominion voting system, and the software, Smartmatic. The memo had determined that the allegations were untrue. But Trump has continued to peddle lies about the fraud in 2020 election up until now, almost a year after the ballots were cast. The former president has also extended those baseless claims to more recent elections, claiming that they were tainted by widespread fraud. Trump has, of course, presented absolutely no evidence to support those outlandish allegations. There you go. It's coming to fruition either tomorrow, I think, or Saturday. I think it's tomorrow. And that's the biggest news that's going on right now. So he knew, and it's documented that he knew. So this is where we are now. So this is going to, oh, you know, I'm trying to, no, listen to this scam. Watch this. Wait a minute. It's a scam. Wait, hold on.
Live on the air. These are the calls I get. Watch this. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, this is Jesus Christ. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. They hung up. And what happened was, and Ellen knows this.
So they called me, you know, these scam people with these warranty people. So they asked me, who was I? And I said, I was Jesus Christ. And so I know that they pass my name around. So now I get scam thing. He goes, is this Jesus? I go, yes, speaking. And they usually hang up at that time. But it is funny what they call me and go, can I speak to Jesus? I said, I'm not Jesus. I'm Jesus Christ, motherfucker. And then they hang up. 510, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson. God, I hope you're not religious. 510, you're live on the air.
My friend, Brian, this is Heston Cleveland.
Heston Cleveland, my friend, how's your lovely mother doing?
She's beautiful, my friend, she's beautiful. I just called in to get you a quick update on what's going on. Since the post-pandemic, I guess you could say, my mom has a performance date, October 23rd, Streetlight Records in San Jose, California.
Wow.
Yep. Coming back at 80. Yes, at 80.
Wow. Well, I'm going to be the first one to go backstage. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to give her a big hug.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Been thinking about you lately. And as I woke up, I was like, let me call Brian.
Hey. Why is the thinking that? I like the way you... Thank you, sir.
Ellen?
Yes.
Oh, my God, it's good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
I don't see you. I don't see any of you guys on Twitter anymore.
Well, I really haven't been doing a lot of stuff because we just went through Hurricane Ida.
Oh, wow.
We haven't had our power and our internet and everything back for that long. So, I mean, we were out of power and everything for, like, a while.
Oh, okay. And you know, we're surrounded by the fires.
Yeah, we are. I see you on Twitter. I want to give you thank you so much. You give me so much credit when I see you on Twitter. And I love you for it. I see how you write, and you're so polite. You're so nice. And thank you for all the support. I really appreciate it.
No, I thank you for your support, my friends. You guys have really supported us and I'm so greatly appreciated. It's people like you that help get the word out. And I guess in a couple of weeks, I'll be calling back in with my mom, and I'll share what I've been doing. I am now like my big brother Brian. I'm a co-host on KYBN Radio.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Matter of fact, it's playing right now.
You got to send me the link. I would love to listen to your broadcast. Just send me something.
Sure. I will. Yeah. I'll send you my birthday shout-outs. Brian, people mm-hmm. from all over the world called and wished me a happy birthday because since I promoting my mom, I started mm-hmm. promoting other groups, and I'm actually doing very well.
You sound wonderful.
I have a artist in Ghana, a few mm-hmm. in Europe, a couple mm-hmm. in New York, Atlanta, L.A., and then, of course, my mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
wow, you're like Clive Davis. Look at you getting your group together. Wow.
Yeah, and then you know what? I just met this 8-year-old. He's a rapper. His name is
really?
Little Jeezy. Yes. I'm going to send you his music and his video. It came online yesterday, and he has over 2,000 views already.
Wow. Well,
yeah,
I want to send.
It's pretty cool.
I want to send this out to you right now.
Okay.
Happy birthday. This is your birthday song.
Celebration all night long.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
You got a heart of gold. You were so thoughtful, loving, family-oriented man. You're everything that I should be, but I will never be. Maybe in my next life.
But you stay who you are. That makes you you. You know, you have a heart, my friend.
I thought I did.
You do.
Well, go ahead. There's a kid, I'm not kidding you. I swear to you. Yesterday I was talking outside with some people. There's another person standing by, and they go, "You don't have a heart, do you?" And I said, "No, I don't." He goes, "Oh, I can tell." I go, "Leave me alone, you little bastard." You know, I was going to kick his ass when he was like 80. I'll kick your ass, you 80-year-old man. You better move faster than that. You know, of course I have a heart.
Brian.
Yeah, you got a heart, my friend.
No, elderly.
Yeah, I know. That's all I can beat up on is the elderly and the people in hospice. I can take those bastards in a minute.
Hey, mow them down, right?
Yeah, mow them down. Who wants to fight, motherfucker? I bully the hospice people. All right, what oxygen tank is making that noise? I'll kick your ass. You know, I help them out. But you know, hey, when you get older, that's all you can do is handicap people and hospice people. I can just, they want to step up to me? Okay, it's on. But, you know, I can't wait. When are you coming to L.A.? When are you coming to L.A. again? Well, you're in L.A. I mean, you're in California.
I'm in California, yeah. I'll be down San Jose on October 23rd.
October 23rd. Huh. I'm going to put that as a date. Okay.
Yeah. KYBN Radio do a live stream.
Mm-hmm.
It's turning into a pretty big event. I just announced it 2 days ago, and it's picking up momentum.
Oh man, I just wish you the best, man. I really do. I feel like I belong to the family. Like you're right. I feel like you're my little brother, and that's my mom's, and. I am invested in you with my love, my caring, and hope that you guys succeed so much. I really do.
I feel your sincerity, my friend, and it's greatly appreciated.
Anytime. And you are just making waves on Twitter. I'm seeing you, and I'm seeing these people gather around you, and they listen to you, and you are just – I remember when you didn't even know what Twitter was. I said, you should go on Twitter. What the hell is a Twitter, Brian?
What is that?
Yeah, you
know, I have to thank you. I have to thank you for that because you gave me the idea to pursue it. And I have more followers on Instagram now than I do Twitter.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm actually making headways. And I gotta let you hear a few of my other artists. Oh my God!
Really?
Oh my
Invite
God!
Them.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
the door
I'm going
is open.
To go through. I'm going to go through and send you everything, and maybe we can set up a interview. You know, so we could I could share and we could talk because I don't want to take up your time unannounced today, but
you're
I
not taking up my. The door is always open for you. Our ratings are up. We got a lot of important people now are listening to this show, and whatever I can do to help, you got me. I got you, man. It's like that song. They say our love won't pay the rent. That's because our money all misses. I don't know what you got, babe, but baby, I got you. Yeah. That could be our song.
I didn't know where you was going until I heard that.
I have no idea. So, train wreck in a half. I got you, babe. But
okay.
Anytime. You let
Thank
me come
you,
on
my
the show.
Thank you. You too. Both of you. I'm greatly honored to be a friend of both of you. You guys have inspired me and pushed me and let me know that I am going in the right direction.
Anytime. Any frickin' time. All right, my friend.
Thank
you. Just let me
Thank
know
you.
When
Thank
you...
you guys.
You're welcome. And just bring them on. Anytime they're ready to come on, you don't have to announce anything. Just come on when I'm on. And let's interview. My door is always open to you. Yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay.
Thank you, both
Anytime.
Of you. Thank you. And I'll talk to you both soon. Okay.
All right.
Love you guys.
There you go.
All
Love
right.
you, too.
All right. Thank you.
I got you, babe. Yeah. I'll talk to you later. There he goes. I love people who come on this show. You know, I give them love. I don't give Joe love because Joe doesn't need no love. Joe's never been loved, so why give it to him? I don't want him to miss anything. You know what I mean? We're going to do a transition. You're going to like what's going on. But first, let's take a little break. Wait. here's Ellen. And Ellen, tell people about your book, because I got a book commercial for you. I'm going to play it for you right now, but go ahead, tell people about your book.
Okay, which one is the commercial about?
Oh, boy. Tell them about all your books. I'm sure one of the commercials is about one of them.
I think it might be about Come Undone. But,
it could be.
Yeah, Come Undone. Yeah. Come Undone is the third of the first three of my real or fantasy series. And it's erotic suspense with a lot of murder, lust, obsession. And in Come Undone, one of the main characters, her name is Sandra/Connor. She plays two different characters in here, you know, because she's stalking two different people. Well, she kidnaps a couple of the main characters, and she holds them hostage because she's obsessed with the male main character, and she's pissed off because he decided that he wanted to break it off with her and go back and work on his marriage. Well, she got so pissed off and she's so obsessed that she ends up killing the wife of the main character, and she puts it on camera. Okay, no, I did. This was way before all of that Facebook murder shit. You know, she didn't put it on social media. She just put it on camera. And she kidnaps the main characters and holds them in some warehouse. And the only one who knows who it really is Wade. He knows who it really is. And Terry and Wade escape, and you know Sandra comes after them. So I mean that's basically what it is. You know, she kidnaps Terry and Wade.
Yeah.
Huh?
Terry, it's full of sex, violence, kidnapping, you know, good stuff. And
lust, obsession, murder.
And murder. It's a documentary of Ellen's life. Here's a commercial. Here you
go. That is not a documentary of my life. I was not kidnapped. I was not held hostage. I was not, you know, I don't have
any... Don't spoil the ending. Spoiler alert.
There is no ending until three books later. Okay,
right.
The first three books of my real or fantasy series and my three books in my Playing with Fire trilogy, they're all connected.
Well, I'm waiting for you to write the book about the Black Knight, the radio host. He's a radio host by day. At night, he's the Black Knight.
Oh, he's the Avenger of Bad.
Yeah, baby. Here's the commercial. Book commercial. Take one.
Come Undone by Ellen Johnson. Book audio trailer. Exclusively at MVP On Demand. Terry could taste the blood. Slightly salty and metallic. She winced when her tongue brushed against her swollen lip. She tried to move her hands, but her arms were heavy, like lead, and she could feel her wire bonds as they bound her hands tightly against her back and cut into the already raw flesh of her wrists. Terry strained, listening for any familiar sounds that might help her to figure out where she was or whom had taken her. But the only sounds that were audible was her ragged breath, her pounding heart, that hurt so bad from beating so hard and fast. And outside, off in the distance, the sound of a foghorn was carried on the wind. Terry felt the wire bonds loosen slightly, and she silently cried out in elation. Then she heard it, low at first, that Terry thought she had imagined it. She turned towards where she thought the noise had come from. Her heart pounded fiercely inside her chest as she thought about all the horror movie cliches, and she had to laugh out loud. "Who's there?" she called out hoarsely. Terry closed her eyes tightly, hoping that her captors didn't hear and decided to investigate. Silence. Then Terry heard the noise again. This time she could tell it was a moan and a scraping on the floor. Terry turned her gaze toward the sound, but could see nothing but darkness. "Who's there?" she called out again, but nothing. "Oh, my God," Terry thought in despair. "That person is dead." She felt saltiness of her tears sting in her eyes, then slide down her cheeks. Terry bit her lip, wincing in pain, as she forgot about the cut. She wanted to scream, lash out at whomever was holding her captive, but she squashed the urge, opting instead to put her anger to better use and work on her bonds and getting free. Terry moved her hands again, despite the excruciating pain, as the wire bindings stripped away her flesh. She was determined to get free, and she would endure any amount of pain that it took to accomplish this task.
That's right.
As she worked, Terry mentally retraced her steps and activities to try and piece together who might be holding her and why, and to also get her mind off the pain in her arms as she loosened her bonds. Then Terry heard that sound again, a low guttural moan, full of pain, then a scraping sound across the floor as whoever was in the room with her tried to stand. Terry wanted to call out, let the other person know she was there, but she didn't, for fear of it being a trap. Then she heard footsteps coming towards her, heavy and deliberate, somewhat slow.
Wow. Uh-oh, Terry fell down. There you go.
There you go. There you go.
I fell down. I fell down. Okay.
Have you unleashed?
Yeah.
What do you think of that, huh?
I think Tess did a good job. I mean, but, you know, I'm biased. Okay, you need to ask people to, you know, you need to get opinions from King and Joe. And
okay. All right. Well, Joe's asleep, but I'll try to wake him. But Miss Lisa's here, and Miss Lisa's an author, so she can give you a critique that's good from an author perspective. Miss Lisa, what do you think of that?
I liked it. I mean, I liked how she was actually bringing out the characters as she was speaking. I liked it.
Yeah. Wow. Look at that.
Well, thank you. I can't wait. I can't wait for everybody to read the new versions of these books. Okay, because the characters, they have more depth. You know, like the character that I told you who, you know, Sandra, you know, it's one person, but she's going by two different names because she's trying to fool, you know, everybody. Okay, and in order to do that, she wears disguises, and her dad's a former CIA operative, so he taught her everything that he knows about disguising himself, and she also worked in the acting industry as a makeup artist, so she knows all about disguises and how to, you know, do sketchy shit, you know, like set up surveillance cameras and everything, and, you know, spy on people without them knowing it.
Wow.
And,
well, there you go.
You know, yeah, so, you know. Yeah.
I think Tess did a great, don't give too much away. Because there's going to be more audio.
Yeah.
Next one, maybe I'll read it. You know what I mean? I can be breathy and everything. Hi.
Breathy.
Yeah.
Breathy. Yeah. Yeah. I think that comes from you smoking too much.
Yeah. I can be breathy. I mean, I would do like, you know, Terry's in the chair. She's wearing a little thing, little short dress, no panties on, and her boobies are just hard because she's afraid, and there's air conditioning and on. She liked the pain. She liked to be hurt. I can do it.
Yeah, okay.
You on drugs?
All right, stop it. Stop it. That's the test.
You need to get
undone.
You need to get King's opinion. You need to get a man's opinion.
King's not in the studio. But you know what? We're going to take a little break because I'm going to get some more coffee. We have some good news that's coming up. There's some projects that I'm working on that you guys are going to love. It's going to involve Miss Lisa, too. She doesn't know it yet, but it will. And we're going to go back to our main story,
okay,
which is we already did the Trump voter fraud. And then I'm going to tell you why Marjorie Taylor Smith, or I'm sorry, did I say Taylor Smith? Marjorie Taylor Greene, she stopped believing in the QAnon conspiracy. And we got other stuff going on, and then we're going to continue our murder mystery because people were asking what happened in our true stories about murder mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
And these are true stories, man. I'm telling you. So I'm going to give you a little comedy relief, and this is Richard Pryor doing a scene with The Exorcist. And I'll be right back in 2 minutes. If you'd like to come to the studio, the number is 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you into the studio and your voice heard around the world. And ladies and gentlemen, Richard Pryor.
Fathers, I'm so glad you could come. Excuse the stain on the rug.
That's quite all right, but...
I had such a dirty mind. Father, I'm so glad that you could come. Excuse the stain on the rug.
At first, I thought it was damn Halloween.
No, this is Exodus. But did you get it? I'm so glad that you could come.
Yeah.
Excuse the stain on the rug. Come on. It's funny shit.
You're such a pervert, I swear.
Here we go.
Fathers, I'm so glad you could come. Excuse the stain on the rug.
Yes. That's quite all right, my child. I think this is Brother Corus.
How do you do,
Father Corus?
Marian! Where's your faith, Father?
It's in the car. I'm going to get it.
Where is she?
She did that to you? Mm.
Stephen, be gone.
Wow, that's something, Father.
You see, I told you we had nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about.
Well, let's talk to the child.
Yes, you talk to him. Did you do that, little girl?
She has to say.
I'm not listening.
You're a liar and a cheat and a child molester. You French kiss your dog in the mouth.
The bed.
Stop the bed.
The bed must be on the floor.
The bed must be on the floor. The bed must be on the floor. The bed must be on the floor. The bed is on my foot. Now we can be friends, huh?
That's
what do
right.
you say?
sweet gesture. You're a sweet little girl.
Jive turkey!
I have faith. You're such a little girl.
Your mother eats kitty litter.
So anyway, there's new things that are going on. I can't explain what they are because they're not done yet. But here's the thing that's happening in the news, and I don't like it. I watch MSNBC, Joy Reid. I can't stand the bitch.
Why do you watch her?
Because I keep my TV on MSNBC, the news and everything. But, you know, she's Haitian. But she poses as black. And everything is racist. I mean, you can have a story like a little puppy got lost in the street. And you're thinking, oh, a little puppy got lost in the street, so you're waiting for the tease. A little puppy, I wonder if the puppy made it. She'll come on. Yeah, the little black puppy was left abandoned in the street. What? Nobody abandoned the white puppies or the brown puppies, but the little black puppy was walking all alone in the street with nothing to eat. What? And a white driver ran over his black ass. Puppy dead now. But it was a white puppy. He'll be saved, and somebody would have picked him up and adopted him. Nobody's adopting black puppies. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. It turns into racist. Yet the little thing with Nicki Minaj, again, racist. So bottom line. And she got into trouble. There's a woman missing. Her name is Gabby Petito.
She ain't missing no more, Brian. They found her body. She ain't missing no more.
That's true. That's true. Well, when I wrote this story 2 days ago, she was missing, and it's a shame.
They found her body when you wrote the story.
Oh, okay. Well, she comes on the TV saying, y'all are suffering from a missing white woman syndrome. She made this up.
I heard that yesterday.
Yeah, I go, what? I mean, how can you turn this into racist? You know, the white girl got killed by her boyfriend, a white boyfriend, and blah, 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 body found and everything, and you're going to turn it into racist. And sure enough, she did. And she calls it missing white woman syndrome. Here's the story. So Joy Reid, she dubbed the news coverage of the disappearance of Gabby a case of a missing white woman. She dubbed it as the case of a missing white woman syndrome. And then she questioned, if people of color involved in a similar case are given the same level of attention by the media, maybe more of us will be found. Now, she has a point, but she doesn't have a point. It's like, bitch, this is the headline story. Read the story. Now, you want to interject saying, well, if it was black, nobody would be looking for her. That's not the story, bitch. And another thing, why don't you, since you're on the radio or since you're on the news, why don't you start mentioning black women missing? There's nothing stopping you, a black ass. And you're not black, you're Haitian. So knock it off.
Yeah, but did you hear beyond that, Brian? Because of what
Wait
she did?
That's true. Wait a minute. Hold on. A lot of people in the studio. 111, you're live on the air. 111, you're live on the air.
Now, Brother Brian, I know you're not saying that a Joy Reid is not indisputably Negroid, whether she's of American ancestry or not. Now, come on,
sorry,
man.
Sorry.
Hey, what's up?
What's up,
yeah,
my
but
friend?
I got to agree with you about Joy Reid, man. What the hell is keeping this woman from talking about all the missing black women?
Exactly.
She got a new show, ain't she?
Okay, but
right.
Listen, Brian, but
Wait, let me say hello to Angela. Wait, we're going to go to Ellen. But is it Angela, 918? Angela, you're live on the air? I think it's
Yeah,
Angela.
It's me, but I want to hear what Ellen has to say. Go ahead.
Okay, there you go,
okay.
Ellen. All
after,
yours, baby.
After she said that, okay, now people are going to start looking at these cases where black and brown women are involved and missing. They're going to start reopening these cases.
I don't know about that.
Well, the indigenous women, they've made a lot of articles about the indigenous women that are missing that are never looked for, never spoken about. So I just wanted to add my two cents and conclude.
Yeah,
all right.
Brian, They had that on Inside Edition last night, that because of what Joy Reid said, and because, you know, and Gabby's disappearance and murder sparked interest and renewal in all of these missing cases. They said that they're going to start looking into these cases again.
Okay, if that is what has occurred as a result of this, fine. That is a good thing. But that isn't my beef with Joy Reid. Joy Reid's take was not simply to spark interest in looking into cases involving missing brown and black women. Her interest was in helping to further the divide and the divisiveness between racial groups, because she's a progressive and a liberal, and that's what they do. And if you look at the tone and the way she approached it, it is clear that was at least in part her intent.
Well, Sarge, you found us out. The leftists, that is our agenda. It's included.
I didn't say it was zero agenda. I said it's her agenda. And I have no doubt in the larger scheme of things, it's their agenda too. That's what critical theory, critical race theory, and all the rest of their poppycock is all about. That's what horsemen using reins and the manner in which you are taught to use horses and to use reins is actually whipping Haitians who are illegally trying to enter the United States. They do it with everything, and they do it all the time.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, Joe, I think he's asleep, but he may wake up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to mute Joe because I'm getting feedback, but I can tell when he's ready to talk because he'll raise his hand. So I'm just going to mute you, Joe. When you're ready to talk, raise your hand. Here's what Joy.
He'll be like Horsat. Mr.
Cartier. Well, I miss that show.
Here's what Joy Reid said, and you determine if it's racist or not. We're just going to get 2-3 minutes of it, and then we'll have the discussion on the other end. Here we go.
If you've been watching the news for the past few days or on Twitter or TikTok, you're probably familiar with the name Gabby Petito, the 22-year-old aspiring social media influencer who was reported missing after her fiancé returned from their van life excursion without her. On Sunday, human remains believed to be Petito's were found in a national park in Wyoming. An autopsy is scheduled for tomorrow to confirm the identity. Now, it goes without saying that no family should ever have to endure that kind of pain, and the Petito family certainly deserves answers and justice. But the way this story has captivated the nation has many wondering, why not the same media attention when people of color go missing? Well, the answer actually has a name, missing white woman syndrome, the term coined by the late and great Gwen Ifill to describe the media and public fascination with missing white women like Lacey Peterson or Natalie Holloway, while ignoring cases involving missing people of color. Joining me now is Derica Wilson, co-founder and CEO of the Black and Missing Foundation, and Lynette Gray Bull, founder of Not Our Native Daughters, an organization created for the awareness of the missing, exploited, and murdered indigenous women and children. Thank you both for being here. You know, I bring up this point because there's a case that's so similar. A journalist friend of mine, Derica, sent me this story about a young, about some other people that are missing. There's one guy whose name is Daniel Robinson. Daniel Robinson is a young black man. He's only 24 years old, 5'8", 165, black hair, brown eyes. That's his description. His dad has hired a private investigator to find him. He's missing part of an arm. He was last seen driving away from his job site in the Buckeye, Arizona desert on June 23rd. And his case struck me because it's very similar. He's missing in the same part of the world. It's a case that it has all of that same kind of sizzle, the sort of mystery of it, this young man who just goes missing. I never heard of it until this friend of mine sent it to me. And I guess that's the issue, isn't it?
It is definitely the issue, and we have been sounding the alarm for nearly 14 years because of this. When it comes to missing persons of color, men, women, and children, our cases are not taken seriously, and no one is looking for us if we were to go missing.
There's also, Lynette, and thank you for being here as well, this is an FBI poster I'm going to put out. This is element one for my producers. And this is a missing poster of someone named Mary Johnson. Ms. Johnson is a Native American woman who went missing from the Tulalip Reservation in Washington State. This is back in November of last year. I never heard of this case either. And again, let's put up the statistics. In terms of the disparities in media coverage for runaways, a lot of minority children are initially classified as runaways. You have missing minority adults are often labeled as being associated with criminal involvement, gangs, or drugs. There's a certain desensitization. According to the Black and Missing Foundation, it's believed that missing minorities live in impoverished conditions and crime as a regular part of their lives. So it's sort of dismissed. And that's from the Black and Missing Foundation's data. From your point of view, why is it that indigenous missing, particularly women, don't get that kind of attention?
You know what? I think there's a lot of factors on why there's an MMIW movement. But one of the main factors and one of the key factors that a lot of people don't want to talk about is that it's racism. It's systemic racism. We're still fighting oppression in our tribal communities. We are still facing inequality across the board, whether it comes to our community, housing, jobs. I mean, you can pick any topic in any country, and there's an issue there. So it is no different when it comes to missing, murdered, and indigenous women and girls.
And there's a case, to stay with you for a moment, Lynette. There's a Dateline did a story about there's a woman named Carla Yellowbird. She disappeared in 2016. You were quoted in this story talking about her. And this is a case that is so long ago. You know, it was obviously during a presidential election year. There was a lot going on. How can we do better in terms of getting that same kind of attention? This is not a young, you know, sort of blonde white woman. And so the media sort of lets it go.
Yeah, I think everybody plays a part. I think it's when we talk about, we talk about law enforcement, we talk about media coverage. You know, if you don't have blonde hair and blue eyes, I mean, our stories do not make it to the 6 o'clock news. We barely may get a story into the paper. You know, however, I just think it takes everybody coming to the table, addressing the issue, being accountable, and making sure that when somebody goes missing or murdered in our community, that it's equally presented and have a sense of urgency.
And the same question to you, Derica. I got to know the Black and Missing Foundation back when I was working for the GRIOT, and we connected with you all trying to find ways that we could boost some of these cases, including using social media. You know, give the media a little critique. What can we do differently and do better?
You know, we can't always wait on the 5 and 10 o'clock news cycle. We have to get these profiles out there. We have to tell the story of our missing. One of the things that we also need to change the narrative on is the decision makers in the newsroom. Majority of them are white men, middle aged, and our cases are just not sensational enough. And then we need to change the dynamics with law enforcement. These cases need to be taken seriously. So if you see a post of a missing person, don't just like it. We ask you to share it. You know, just because someone is missing out of Washington, D.C., doesn't mean they're in D.C. They could be in New York. They could be in Boston, you know, in a matter of hours. So we need everyone around this country being very vigilant, looking into the eyes of everyone that they come across because they may hold the answer.
Yeah, and Lynette, has social media helped? Because, it's so easy to share information now because we have, you know, visual social media like Instagram. We have Twitter. Has that made a difference in your view?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, before we were putting bright green and bright pink garage signs up to find our people within our community. So social media played a huge role on disseminating that information throughout the nation and through different communities. It definitely helped us.
Yeah, and I think, Derica, you made a really good point that, you know, if the woman who's missing looks like your own daughter or granddaughter and you're a newsroom executive, you're going to gravitate more toward it. And if this is the way that these young women look, maybe they're not noticed as much, but we need to change that. Derica Wilson and Lynette Grable, thank you all for all that you do, and thank you for being here. All right, so I've...
Okay, there you go. Does she have a point, or is it racism? Is it racism, or does she have a point? Really? Now, Mr. Sarge, what do you think? Is it racism?
I'll tell you something.
Point,
if the ratings go low enough, you think we can have a show about missing black TV host syndrome? I'm just asking. You know, man, I'm saying, you know, I mean, look at the nationwide convulsion over dead black criminal syndrome. When the police legally justifiably shoot a black criminal, we get, in many cases, nationwide convulsions over it. Do we get the same kind of convulsions over innocent black victims murdered in the inner city day after day after day? No. No. Not at all. You don't even know their names. Little children, maybe 1 or 2 days, and that's the end of it. The end of it. Now, but then again, I guess getting plugged in a drive-by or getting lawfully and justifiably shot by the cops, or maybe you could stab another black woman, ain't the same thing as a missing one. I don't know. All I know is I don't think Joy Reid really meant anything good by doing what she did. I think her primary focus was to foster more divisiveness and provide another venue for racially inspired griping. I swear to God I do. I've been listening to this woman too long.
Well, I agree with you, but does she have a point, though, Sarge? I do agree with you.
Yes, again, as I said earlier, if this inspires more attention to missing black women, who in fact are missed by their families and want to know what happened to them, that is a good thing. But that will be an inadvertent result of her coverage. I do not think that was the intention primarily. I just don't. I've been watching Joy Reid for too long.
You know what? I kind of do. What do you think, Angela? What do you think with Sarge said?
Well, I think Joy Reid is just a waste of time.
Really? I'm surprised.
And by the way, I got to admit, man, you know, I did think the coverage on this woman missing, while, you know, I feel for her family, I understand their pain and their concern and their desire to have it highlighted to the exclusion of everything else, I do think it was overblown. But let's face it, it's got the same sort of thing that, people who cast TV movies of the week like to look for and highlight, and they know it'll attract viewership, and that's why they do it. That's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they hadn't done it, but they did. But there was no reason for Joy Reid to exploit it in the manner that she did.
I agree. What do you think, Angela?
I think she should have followed up with action. Now, that would have spoke louder. But they're just empty words in a dry well.
And then, too, think
too
about
much.
It for a minute now. Now, think about this for a minute. We got in a black community, and it's a well-known phenomenon that's often discussed. You know, stop snitching, okay? That mindset is not as prevalent in the white community. Now, they're in effect, we're asking to a great extent and looking for information that prevents and assists in capturing a murder suspect. Okay? In the black community, believe me, as being a cop, I know about the don't snitch mindset, even when it involves murder. In one case, I remember a three-year-old child killed in a drive-by shooting. And you have no idea the kind of troubles we had dealing with people who knew who was probably at the core of killing this girl. And we almost had to beat it out of them because they didn't want to tell us. And we knew they knew. Or they, we knew they had information that could get us on the right trail.
Wow.
But, you know... You know, Sarge, I do. There's two of them, Joy Reid, and there's a couple of them when they create this racist divide and they keep writing it. I have this thing. Yes, people are going to be racist. And you know what? It's the right to be racist. Let them be racist. I don't care. People have the right to be Catholic. People have the right to be Jewish. Whatever. People have the right to be gay. I don't care. But she does create this. I just did the example. Every frickin' thing, I dare you to watch. She's on MSNBC at 4 o'clock Western time, or California time, whatever. I dare you to watch her coverage, and she doesn't repeat anything that doesn't have racism in it. Like I said, it could be a dog walking across the street, and then she will go, it's a black dog, and nobody wants him, and we should not do this. She inserts racism in every frickin' newscast that it should not belong there. Now,
I agree,
Angela.
Look at this silly story about the Border Patrol agents and the horse reins and whipping Haitian suspects. I mean, it was patently absurd, and they repeated it over and over and over and over and over again to include this moron Vice President Kamala Harris. I mean, this is what they do. I, frankly, am getting sick of people trying to manipulate me in this manner. Everybody else ought to be, too.
Well, okay, the visual was rough. Was rough. Sarge, you have to look.
It was
not,
look,
it
I,
was
I had a horse, Brian. The horse was trained in dressage. Horses are prey animals. They respond to pressure and what they might perceive as a threat. When you want a dressage-trained horse, as these horses are, to move to the left, you take your right spur and you put pressure on their flank, and they move that way because that's what they do. When you twirl your reins in front of their eye on the side opposite to which way you want to move, they perceive the twirling reins as a possible threat, and they move to the left quickly. It is a way you do when you're trying to maneuver in close quarters and get the horse to respond quickly. It's not an attempt to whip someone. I have done it, Brian.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a lie because they want to divert from their failure at the border. They've created a humanitarian crisis by their policies. They have encouraged these people to come here and set themselves up under a bridge while the administration cynically knew they just couldn't allow thousands of them into the country all at once. And rather than set up policies which would cause the flow to be manageable, they set up what they did. And so instead they got to make up these foolish narratives about horsemen whipping poor black people in a manner reminiscent of slave patrols. It's a disgusting disgrace. And they should have known better. Anybody falls for it, I'm sorry. To take up with this is unconscionable.
I agree with you in a little bit. What do you think, Angela? What do you think, Ellen? Get into this conversation, Miss Lisa. I mean, Sarge has a point, doesn't he? What do you think?
I think it was a little racist. I mean, she shouldn't have did what she did. Take it away.
I mean, name it,
you know,
white woman syndrome. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You could have done better than that.
That
you could have done the news story.
Ridiculous.
And you knew that you were going to make headlines. You knew that Twitter was going to blow up, naming it the white woman syndrome. And he may have a point that she was kind of beta to get, and they were talking about her on Twitter, and she liked it. Her ratings are going up. She did the same thing with Nicki Minaj, so her ratings will go up. And Yeah, she went after Nikki. And then later, the show afterwards, she goes, well, Nikki had a point. Shut up, bitch. But again, this is not a stupid woman.
What point did Nicki Minaj have? I still don't understand. You know, Nicki Minaj had no point. Okay, she's spreading all kinds of information.
I don't even know why Nicki Minaj is even relevant.
She was spreading misinformation about the COVID-19 vaccine. Okay, saying that her cousin's friend in Trinidad said that after he got the vaccination, his balls started to swell. You know, and she said that's why she's not going to get the vaccination. Well, you know what? Okay, you stupid bitch. You know, you got a call from the White House saying, stop your shit.
Well, she may or may not have been spreading misinformation, but I guarantee bloody well to you, she ain't spread as much disinformation as Dr. Fucky has. And you know,
okay,
when it came to this story about the ball swelling up, look, I don't look for medical advice from Nicki Minaj, okay, and I never will. I guarantee you that. But I did see a person testifying in that FDA hearing they had about the possibility and the rationale for a belief by medical professionals that the vaccine may lead to vaccine because of spikes and the potential for blood clotting, which would involve blood flow to the penis. Now, that doesn't mean it's correct. It simply means they have a theory that perhaps needs to be explored.
Sarge, let Ellen talk,
I'm
please.
I'm going to stop you right there, okay? That was not all of the fucking vaccines. That was just the Johnson & Johnson, and it was a few women who were between the ages of 18 and 40. Y'all need to get your fucking information straight and stop putting in your own
information. I got my information straight. Did you hear what I just said?
Sergeant, just tone it down a little bit.
And that's one third of them.
People can't hear you when you scream.
All right, well, look, I'm saying, she said I don't have my facts straight. I'm telling her, she just admitted it was one third of the vaccines are available.
I said y'all. And it wasn't
look,
all
I don't
the
know
vaccines.
About y'all. I
it
know about me.
Johnson
I know I'm
Johnson.
Not the spokesman for anyone but me. This is the research that I have done. I don't pretend to speak for anyone but me. I'm not a spokesman for anyone else.
I have a question. Where did you get your research from? Was it from the CDC
it
website?
It was from the testimony at the panel. I heard the woman make the testimony. She'd been invited there by the FDA. I can't think of her name right now, but I can get it for you.
Oh, that's fine. It just sounded like maybe you went to the VIRS database,
again,
which is
a ma'am. I go to the VIRS website. I go to the CDC website. Not Fox News, not first. Or maybe second,
because that's
after
straight
I hear it
data.
On Fox News, and I try to corroborate it.
Okay, I just thought maybe you had gone to the VIRS database where anyone can find it on the CDC website. And it has
that
a listing of all
too,
the adverse.
Right. I just can't think of name of this
it
doctor.
It lists
think name.
All
Kathleen.
The adverse reactions to all vaccines. So it's a good resource point.
I think
the
woman's name was
concluded.
Kathleen something. I can't remember her last name.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that Nicki Minaj, look, I don't look to her for medical advice. Let me tell you what Nicki Minaj's importance is. The importance of liberty, the right to make decisions involving medical treatments without being mandated by a fascist regime from the federal government, especially when it is contraindicated by evidence available from innumerable medical professionals to the contrary. There is a controversy. And it's not just from people who believe in one thing or the other. There is legitimate rationale on both sides. But what we are getting is a regime that is attempting to exclude one side of the argument to the benefit of the other. And that should not be tolerated in a free society because that isn't science. That is not the scientific method, nor is it the way scientific inquiry should be pursued.
Now you mentioned two things, liberty and freedom. And I know you know the difference. Would you like to tell people what the difference is between liberty and freedom?
Liberty is the right to be free from arbitrary and capricious government. Freedom is the right to act according to your dictates and your inclinations. There is somewhat of an overlap, but they are not the same. I am more concerned about our loss of liberty right now because of the actions of this government.
Well, I think that was well said about liberty and freedom, and I think people need to hear them to be defined to see what is at risk at this point in time. So I really appreciate you clarifying that.
Oh, believe me, I'm a proponent of liberty. I think we are more peril of that than we are of losing freedom. I'm infinitely more concerned about the loss of liberty than I am freedom. And right now, that should be everybody's dictate. And right now, we need to have the states prepared to stand up against the encroachments of this federal government. I mean, it is unconscionable they're doing what they're doing, even if they have the best of motives, and I don't believe they do. There is no way on God's green earth you are ever going to convince me that the primary motivation for these strictures that are imposed upon us is primarily for the concern of the American people and their health, because if it was, they would not be importing thousands of COVID cases, people with apparent COVID symptoms, who are illegal aliens without quarantining them and or mandating they get a vaccine. The fact of the matter is they are not doing that. It is clear to anyone with a mind to see that is not their primary concern. The very fact that they're doing this.
Sarge has a point. I mean, think about it for a minute. He brought up a point that I did not think about.
Encroachment is very important to monitor.
Right. But, you know, we got 10,000, 15,000 Haitians living under a bridge on our border, Texas. And Sarge just brought up a point that I didn't even realize. And we're so concerned about how deadly this COVID is and mandating this and mandating that. But you're not hearing them quarantine. Oh, Haitians, I mean, come on. I mean, that's a third world country, fourth world country. I mean, my God. You know, they don't have the modern medicine that they need to.
But, Brian,
to
we do
themselves.
Understand that if an American citizen or a person with a green card or visa comes from overseas exhibiting signs of COVID, the protocol requires that American citizen be quarantined.
Right.
Now, in God's name, can you explain to me why an illegal alien deserves less restriction than an American citizen or a valid green card holder?
They
have nowhere to put them. They have nowhere to put them.
They're not supposed to
underneath
be
a bridge. I mean, that's
place.
Awful.
They're supposed to be
you know,
from
I
the
doubt
country.
That they've been vaccinated either. I highly doubt it if they fled their country.
Well, we had they come via Mexico, and we had a deal. Trump had a deal with the Mexican government that you will keep those people there until they are processed correctly. And I guess the deal with Mexico is that they're not stopping them at the border. In fact, they're probably telling them how to get to the United States. But the point of it is that, Ellen, he has a point. All you got 15,000 Haitians under a bridge. And
why did you mention my name?
Because I just wanted to say this to you because I want you in a conversation. And we talk about quarantine because you are an advocate of vaccines, and I am too. But you know, our actions is not really doing what we're saying. I mean, we were so afraid of people being unvaccinated coming into our country. I mean, if I travel to Alaska or if an American travels out of the country before he comes back to the United States, he has to take a test. I mean, that's the law. He has to take a test. So we got 15,000 people. Chances are majority of them are not vaccinated. We're not quarantining them. There's something wrong.
Well, they're
here.
Underneath a bridge, and there's orange, what do you call that? It makes a wall. That's a form of quarantine. I'm trying to lighten the mood.
I don't know if that's a form of quarantine or not.
Thanks for reminding me of that. You know, maybe I'm being a bit too hard on the Biden administration. It's just amazing what the American people willing to put up with. Like I said, but I will admit, the American people put up with a lot between 1765 and 1775. They put up with a lot, 10 years worth, before they said it's too much, and we're not putting up with it anymore. So we got a few more years to go, maybe, if it ain't too late.
Well, people have to get highly uncomfortable to make a change, Sarge. People have to get very uncomfortable to make a change. You know, rock bottom, so to speak. You know, the bottom of the bottle. You know, the no more syringes. You know, they got to get really uncomfortable and want to take back their freedom.
Did you see that the video in New York City the other day where a group of black women were prevented from entering a restaurant and they just stormed the restaurant and assaulted the woman who was enforcing the mandates of Mayor de Blasio?
Well, those were Texas women that stormed that restaurant. Those Texans, they think they own the roads and the slopes. You know, they need a lesson to be taught to them. If you're from Texas and I offended you, too bad.
Right, right. That they couldn't come into that restaurant.
I think some people are getting it, maybe not for exactly the right reasons, but they know something's rotten in Denmark with this whole thing. They know it. Everybody knows it. Everybody understands it implicitly, even if they're not willing to take positive steps toward doing something about it. Everybody understands it's corrupt. Everybody understands it's rule of elites who do not follow their own dictates. Everybody can see it. It's blatant now. You got that mayor, that breed, that London breed, talking about she had to be maskless and violate her own mandate because she got the spirit, listening to Tony. See, this is what I mean. You know, I mean, you take a leader, like, say, George S. Patton. He had a thing where, you know, even when troops were in the rear area, they had to wear their steel helmets and a necktie. Now, that used to drive troops crazy. They hated Patton for doing that. But they had to admit one thing. Every time you saw George Patton, he had a steel helmet on and a necktie. And that's the difference. It wasn't rules for thee, but not for me.
Right, right. But then there's the other side. There's a doctor. I don't know who she is. It's a woman doctor. And she's going around spreading this conspiracy theories about the vaccine and telling people don't take the vaccine. She's going on tour. She's a Trumper kind of thing. And the left is complaining, saying that she's giving misinformation and that her license should be taken away. Now, she's a surgeon. And she is basically saying that the vaccine is poison. We don't know enough about it. And it should not be mandated. And she goes on and on and on. And the left doesn't like her. Now, Sarge, the question I have to you is, what do you feel about mandating? In California, that you can't even go to a restaurant or so on and so forth without showing that you've been vaccinated. And schools are going to mandate the children being, now they're doing it for children 5 years old and up, to be vaccinated. How do you feel about the mandate?
Well, first of all, I just want to make, before I answer your question, I will. I am pro-vaccine. I think vaccine is better than not for most people. Most people should be vaccinated. I am vaccinated. I've gotten both of the Moderna shots. I'm not against the vaccine. I am against mandates. Okay, now to answer the question, I'm against mandates. Why? Because the primary reason, and it's not the only reason, the primary reason is because some people, for whatever reason, medically, are immunocompromised. It is a small percentage of people. It is not many. But just as it is a small percentage of people who are allergic to shellfish, who are allergic to peanut shells, nonetheless, we take them into consideration when we deal with public policy. We take that into consideration, even though it's a tiny percentage of the total population. Similarly, we need to have the same regard for the medical needs of those who may be immunocompromised or told by their doctors that a vaccine may be contraindicated for them. It shouldn't even be arguable. But for some reason, because of politics, it is. Well, I say that no mandates, zero. It is done as a matter of you, even if it's a religious reason, I don't care. No mandate, and particularly not from the federal government. If there's going to be mandates, thrash it out at the state level in each individual state. But the federal government has no, zero constitutional authority to order a health mandate that could contradict the mandates issued by the governors and the legislatures of the state. There is zero, zero authority to do it. It is a tyrannical grab. It is tyranny, and there is no reason to even contemplate it.
You feel the same way about abortion?
I'm clapping over here.
Yeah, but do you feel the same way about abortion?
Okay, again, the Constitution is silent about abortion. Silent. It doesn't say anything at all. There is no federal responsibility whatsoever for abortion. The proper venue for addressing it is in each individual state. Each one. Some will allow it. Others won't. It's a medical procedure. I think morally, it is an unjust taking of the human life. That's my personal opinion. I'm only speaking about constitutionally and law. And that should be done at each state and each state level and each state legislator in 50 separate states, not with a federal mandate, some penumbra and emanation dreamed up by a rogue Supreme Court.
I just say damn Texas to hell for its law saying you cannot get an abortion with the sounding of a first heartbeat, a fetal tissue.
Yeah. You think? I like to know at what human being walking the earth was not at that point at some point in their existence. I would like someone to tell me and point out that living being to me. And
well, just
maybe
because
I'll
I have
my
a
mind.
Potential... Just because I have the potential to be a murderer does not make me a murderer. You know, in this case, it's a mass of cells.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Every single human being living was at one point a blastocyte or whatever it is they call that thing. The human ovum when it's
the
fertilized.
Mass of cells.
Yeah, it is essentially,
zygote.
But it is unimpeded and allowed to take the natural course, in the vast, overwhelming majority of cases, a human being will emerge 9 months hence or so, whatever. Even if it's premature, within 6 to 9 months, you're going to get a human being. And at that point, that human
federal,
being is going to
it should
be innocent.
Federal,
even
not
Adolf
state
Hitler
by
was
state.
Innocent when he was born.
Yes.
So everybody is born, and in the womb, they're innocent, every single one of them.
He was born into a state of sin, so actually, he was not innocent. None of us are.
Well, okay, if that's a religious belief. As a matter of law, they're innocent. Every baby born is innocent as a matter of law. Unless, of course, you've got a law that says...
Getting back to Brian's question.
Unless, of course, a law that says you're born a certain way by virtue of a particular categorization you are involved in by law, or you're a Jew, or you're black, and you're born a chattel slave or whatever, then yeah, I guess you could be born guilty. But in the transcendent, objective, moral truth of things, every human being is born innocent.
Well, that's a state of being, isn't it? And I think his question was comparing the vaccine mandate or potential vaccine mandate to abortion. I don't think the two can be compared.
Well, the reason I transitioned it is because we're talking about liberty. We're talking about freedom.
Yes.
And so we have this stance on vaccines. The right is saying you're taking away our freedom. But yet at the same time, the right is saying that you cannot have an abortion, so you're taking away a woman's liberty and her freedom for the right to choose for her body. So
what is she choosing to do? Is she choosing to do something with her body or someone else's? Because her
they're taking away
DNA
a woman's right to choose.
Her DNA structure is not the same as a baby's. It's not her appendix that's being removed, Freud.
But
there was someone trying to talk.
But what I was trying to say is, okay, I understand the detail of the subject, but I'm saying about just the broad scale of it, if you're fighting for freedom and liberty, you could fight for freedom and liberty on one end, and I agree. The government should not dictate a person's body or will, opposed their will on somebody else or the citizens. But yet, the same side is saying a woman doesn't have the right to choose an abortion. What about her freedom and the right to choose whether she should have the child or not?
Okay, so what is the result of every... Well, let me ask you a question, sir. What is the result of every single successful abortion? I mean, every one without question. What is the result? End result. A human life is ended every single time. Every single time, if it's successful, a human life is ended. Every time.
Yeah.
No exception.
Yes, but
now, let me ask you a question. Is it possible to not get vaccinated and not endanger another human being?
But you're going with death there. Because if you're not a vaccinated person and you're walking around, even though I'm vaccinated, I did everything right. I did my, you know, I get the vaccination to protect myself, but yet I can still catch it. And you're running around not vaccinated and you give it to me, and I may have some immune deficiency, you know, and I'm not going into detail of it, you could kill me. People are dying from this shit. So you're basically a loaded gun.
But again, my question was, is it possible to not get vaccinated and not imperil another human being? And on the other hand, is it possible to have a successful abortion and not end a human life? Or is it 100% of the time a human life is ended, an innocent one?
Well, it's not a human life.
But
it is a human life.
Then there's
it's human life.
Not
I disagree.
A life
it's definitely
yet.
Human
when
life.
Is it alive?
It is not a born human life, but it's definitely human life. It's the way we all
It's
begin.
Removal of a mass of cells. It's a removal.
Well, that is really sort of arbitrary when you examine what is the results of an abortion after 3 months. And you take it out, and almost every single system you find in an adult human being is present.
Well,
nervous
I mean, you
system,
can look at vaccines.
Lungs,
there's
skin,
fetal cell
heart,
lines that are included in certain vaccines. Did you hear me?
What's that?
You know, actually, the fetal cell lines that are in certain vaccines are harvested from aborted fetal tissue. So they're saving lives.
So, again, you're leaving that determination to others rather than the person being aborted. They're not allowed to volunteer
the fetal
their
tissue.
You're going to decide for them whether
tissue.
They should live or die for my convenience so I can get a vaccine.
Well, I'm just saying the abortion helps the vaccines.
I understand that, ma'am. But, I mean, you know, the Germans had useful information involving hypothermia and shot down pilots when they took concentration camp prisoners and subjected them to hypothermia. There was actually not as much as they would have liked to have, but there was useful scientific information to be determined. Nonetheless, we condemn it as barbarism. It's not an excuse to say that it's simply something that can yield something of value to destroy human life that is innocent and has no say-so in the matter.
From Auschwitz.
He
did it on children, by the way.
From studying what happened to concentration camp people who were involuntarily subjected to experiments with freezing. They helped them think, well, how can we save our pilots who were shot down in the North Atlantic? How can we help keep them freezing?
They used the data. The Army used the data. And the Air Force used the data to help save people. From
again, I understand
some
that. I
nefarious,
understand the I'm saying
from
that
some nefarious, I'm just trying to finish my sentence. From some nefarious experiments. You're not going to shout me down. You know, I have
I'm
a lot of respect
down.
For you.
Question, is that a
well, I was trying to finish my sentence.
Point.
You know, Brian, it's been a wonderful show. I'm going to leave at this point because I don't want to get into a shot.
Well, we've already established that some scientific information can be gleaned. We're not even arguing that anymore. I admitted it can be. I asked you, is that a rationalization to allow its continuance?
Well, she left. She left.
I know. See, she doesn't want to confront the answer.
That's true.
I mean,
but it
I,
is.
See, I understand these things with people because, you know, it sounds scientific. It sounds
right.
expedient. It sounds
right.
even efficient. That's all. You know, we got these subjects. Mama doesn't want them. They got their tissues there. Why not use it for this purpose?
Well,
okay,
you know,
then let's confront that honestly and not pretend that's what's being done.
Right. Well, we still haven't really found out what is the beginning of life and abortion. Some people think it begins on the point of conception. Some people believe it's a heartbeat. Some people believe whatever. So we have a problem there. We haven't really established what is the beginning of life yet. And it's true.
Let me ask you, what do you think? When do you think your existence, your physical existence on this planet began? Because I know I'm certain when mine did.
Well, I believe a first sign of a heartbeat. I really believe that.
I believe it started when my father's sperm united with my mother's egg, and I formed the 48 distinct chromosomes that make me who I am.
Well, there
That's
you go.
When I
you believe.
Started.
That,
I mean, there's no other way to look at it. I mean, you know, sperm cells, my father has a nocturnal emission. The sperm cell that could have made me is gone forever. I don't get a chance to exist. The only way I get a chance to exist is if that one individual sperm cell out of the billions my father manufactured in his lifetime gets to meet my mother's ovum. And I believe that is the beginning of a unique, distinct individual human life. It is the same for every single human being you see walking on this planet, even identical twins or triplets. So I think that's when I began. I think that's when every other human being began. And I don't see any way around it.
Well, see, that's the problem. And so it's hard to regulate something when so many people have different ideas when life begins. And when you say 6 weeks, and let's just be honest, so a woman, I'm not a woman, but they're saying 6 weeks, we hardly even, we miss 1.5 periods, and we don't even know we have signs of pregnancy. And you're saying after 6 weeks, I can't get an abortion, it's murder. That's unfair to us. Do you, how you feel about that?
Again, we know life ain't fair. Why does nature impose the burden of gestation and childbirth on women? Is that fair? Mm-hmm. What is a man's role in it? It's pleasurable and it's momentary, relatively speaking. But that's the way it is. Now, I wish there might be another way to resolve this problem that nature didn't create it, other than killing the human being that is a result of this biological action. I don't know of any. Do you? Can we take this baby out and just bait it somewhere else and then give it to someone who wants it for adoption? I don't think we've reached that point yet.
No, we haven't, and you're absolutely
fair.
Right.
It isn't fair. Nature isn't fair.
And, well, they have the argument, what happened if it was rape or incestuous relationship? You want this thing out of your body, the reminder of 9 months that this man raped me or my father raped me or uncle raped me, and it doesn't feel right. You know what I mean? What about that feeling of the woman's feeling?
All right, Brian, let me ask you a question. Is a person a lesser human being because they're conceived as a result of rape or incest? Does that make them lesser than other human beings inherently?
No, it does not.
It does, then yeah, abort them, kill them. And if it doesn't, then there's no more reason to do it than a child is conceived in love.
Ellen, you're a lady. What do you feel about that? Miss Lisa? What do you feel about that? He has a good argument on it.
Man, I'm torn. I'm torn with that because I don't believe it. I'm against abortion. But on the other hand, if, like you said, Brian, incest or a rape or whatever, it should be the woman's right to make a choice if she wants to keep that child or not. It shouldn't be, no, you cannot get an abortion. You have to have this baby. I don't think that's right.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair. If she went through a traumatizing situation, even if it was by a family member, she shouldn't be forced to carry that child. But on the other hand, this woman got caught cheating on her husband. Oh, I want to hurry up and go get an abortion before my husband find out, you know, or I'm 16 years old, promiscuous, got pregnant, but I don't want my parents to find out. that's a whole different type of subject for me.
All right. Well, I like the Socratic method. I like to ask questions, see how people think about it. So let me ask another question here. All right. Let's say, for instance, that we allow abortions, not allow. We say abortions for rape and incest are the only ones we will deal with. Okay, that's going to be eliminate 2%, maybe 3% of all abortions. Still got the other 97% to deal with. Because, you know, they like to use the rape and incest exception as a rule rather than a rare exception, relatively speaking. So we still, I want to ask you this. So let's say we eliminate that 2 to 3% of abortions. Then what do we do about the other 90%? Do you keep the same regime? Because it's the same thing. We've already established, according to this argument, that there's a difference in human beings conceived in rape and incest. I guess their worth or their value has... human beings conceived in either love or consent, a lawful consent. So we still got that 97 or so percent to deal with. What do we do about them?
I still think that there should be a choice for the woman. I mean, again,
yeah.
I'm not for abortion. I'm not for it. I had four children. I didn't have to have four children, but I had four children. My sister had three children. She was supposed to have four. She made a choice. I was not happy with that choice because she didn't have to do it. She just didn't want to get caught. You see what I mean? To me, it's two different things. If you go into a clinic, it should be screened. The people, the lady, woman, or girl should be screened. And it should be said then, if you're not under these circumstances, just like COVID, get in COVID assistance. In some places, you can't get whatever if you don't prove that you was affected by COVID, unemployment. You got to give them certain criteria in order for you to get your unemployment under the COVID guidelines or whatever. So if they're not being screened properly, of course they're going to be able to just go in, walk in, and get an abortion, whether it was, you know, sleeping with somebody's husband, or, you know, I just don't want to have this child. I mean, but it's to me, it should be on a local level. If that service is rendered, why are you getting this service? You know, in between the person and the people who's providing the service. But I don't think any woman should have to make a choice because, you know, I'm being pressured by these people that are in front of the building saying, don't kill babies, don't kill babies. You know, what is the reason for this child being here? What is the reason for this woman being here? You know?
Well, I'm about to say, I'm not trying to claim it's typical because it isn't. It isn't the experience of most women who are victims of rape. But I have read of many stories of women who have elected to carry their child that was conceived in rape and have been happy that they did so for both the child and the mother. I am not saying it is typical. I am sure it is not. But such stories do exist, and they're not rare, even if they're not common. I myself am raising a child, my granddaughter, who's conceived in statutory rape. My granddaughter's conceived in statutory rape. And I convinced my daughter not to kill her. I'm happy with her. We are happy together. We have a happy life. I am proud of her and her achievements, and I'm glad she's alive. And I'm glad her mother didn't
very
kill her
rare.
And gave her to me to raise.
Very rare.
But
yeah,
I'm just saying. I'm just saying it isn't all one way or the other. It isn't all bleak. It isn't all dystopian. There are other outcomes that are possible. And I say, whenever a innocent human life can be saved, it should be.
Yeah, he brought up a point.
I like
to bring Ellen in a scenario, and it's a point that Sarge brought up, and you too, Lisa. Ellen?
Uh-huh.
I'd like to do a scenario with you, and give me your honest answer, really, okay?
Okay.
Let's say you're driving down a highway.
Uh-huh.
You see a 3-year-old sitting on a rock. crying her little eyes out. Looking disheveled, but crying her little eyes out, okay? You know it's getting dark. You know it's getting dark. And that if you don't stop and help this child, harm could come to her, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But you do recognize the kid because it looks like, you know, the lady on the farm, and you know that that kid, because there's rumors it's a small town, that she was conceived out of incestuous, being incest, okay, and sexual incestuous conditions, okay?
Okay.
What do you do? Knowing that that kid, that three-year-old, is sitting on a rock, on the road, getting dark, but you know by rumors, and could be true, that that kid was conceived by an incestuous relationship. What do you do?
Okay, well, first of all, I wouldn't leave the child there. I'd take her to the police station.
Why? Why don't you just let her die? She was from an incestuous conception. She's an abomination.
This is totally different. Okay, I would take her to the police station.
Why?
I would take her to the police station and let them help the little girl.
No, there's no police station. You don't have time to take her to the police station. You make a decision whether that little girl lives or dies. And you know that little girl is from an incestuous relationship. They don't want her. That's why she ran away. They hated her because it was an incest thing, how she was conceived. And you have a choice to let that girl die or live. What do you do?
Okay, like I said, I would take her to.
You don't have time to take
authority.
No, the police. I'm not. The police is out of the picture. You don't have time to take
Why
her to the police.
Why are the police out of the picture?
Because I'm taking them out of
the picture. Why are the police out of the picture?
Because I'm trying to make a point. The point is, you have a choice to have that child to live or die. What do you do?
I just told you what I do, Brian. Okay,
no,
you cannot
I'm taking
just
the police.
No, you cannot just go and pick up any kids off the street and take them home with you.
I'm not saying, okay, so you let the kid die. So you're saying you drive by.
No,
you drive by and let the kid die.
No, I would not. I would take her to the proper authorities.
You can't. Okay. You're giving an out that's not there. You're missing the point what I'm trying to say.
Proper authorities, that's what
you're
supposed to do.
Yeah, what I'm trying
to say.
No, but the point of the scenario is this, and it's going with Sarge's point. Whether it's through rape or incest, it's a life. The kid is innocent. And sometimes we think to the mother and we think towards the woman or we think towards an adult, oh my God, you had that kid through a horrific situation. It was unspeakable. It was evil, but you conceived a child. So some people go, they give that, well, now you have the right to kill it. I mean, this is Sarge's point here. Now you have the right to kill it. The kid's innocent. The kid doesn't know who his father is or who his mother is. It's a human life. And the hypocrisy, what we do in our society is saying, okay, well, you cannot have an abortion. Okay, you can have an abortion only if it's an incest or rape. Okay, we'll allow you to kill somebody then. This is what the hypocrisy of our society is saying. But other than that, you cannot have an abortion.
Okay, so
you must carry
you know
the child
what?
To full
you
term.
You guys are forgetting something else, too.
What?
Okay?
What?
There are some women, you know, this abortion law is so vague and so general. Okay, you're forgetting the women who, if they carry, there's something wrong with the baby. And if they carry it to term, it could be dangerous for the baby.
They don't know if something's wrong with the baby. But what,
yes,
what I'm
do.
Trying to say
is no, they can find this out while the baby is still inside
okay.
the womb.
Okay, then you're opening up another wormhole, meaning that if you find out while you're getting your test and you're looking through the X-ray, you know, the mammogram or whatever, not the mammogram, but you know what I'm talking about, and the doctor says, you know
mm-hmm.
what, there is something wrong with your baby, maybe it's a breach or whatever, something's wrong with the baby, and if, even if you deliver
no,
the baby,
a breach,
it comes
no,
a pro term.
A breach, no, a breach.
Okay,
breach,
okay but
can,
I don't
want to
get stuck
in my... Over.
Okay.
But I'm
but
saying,
that,
Brian,
that,
there are
forget
things
that,
that will cause... No, there are things that will cause the baby not to be able to be carried to term.
Okay. The doctor tells you something's wrong with your baby, and if you have the baby may not be normal. There is something going on with your baby. Maybe
I'm not saying normal, Brian.
No, she's
I'm
talking about something
normal.
Like an ectopic pregnancy where the woman's life is actually endangered by the continuation of the pregnancy.
Or, you know, or mm-hmm. they find out that something is so wrong with the baby that it will not live outside of your womb.
But, you know, mm-hmm. you open up another wormhole that you know that if you're in a hospital and that it's between your life and a newborn baby, you know what the doctor's going to choose? The baby.
Your life? No, your life.
I don't
life.
Think he would
no,
choose.
They will say your life.
Actually,
man,
that's not exactly
mm-hmm.
true.
Yeah, they're going to choose
your life before
Brian.
They take the baby.
No, that's
yeah,
not exactly true, Brian. No, they're not going to do it that way. Look, I'm going to say, look, I got an exception for abortion when the mother's life or health is actually endangered, and this is a principle that I'm invoking. You are not required to give your life for someone else. That is not a requirement in any ethical consideration that I know of. You're not required to throw yourself on a hand grenade to save your buddies. People do it. They are admired for it, and they're often given the Medal of Honor when they do it. I admire them, but it's not a requirement, nor should it be a requirement for a mother to give her life, to give her, bring a child to birth. I would admire any woman who did it. I've read of women who have foregone cancer treatment in order not to harm their child, and they die as a result. They earn my greatest admiration, respect, and honor. But I don't think they should be required to. That's the difference.
Yeah, okay. I see where you're coming from. Very good, Sarge, and very good, Ellen. Well said. Very good.
Thank
but
you.
But Sarge made me think about incest and his rape thing and think about the baby as a human being had nothing to do with that and do we have the right to kill.
You know my take on it? Okay, you know my take on it?
Go ahead,
okay,
kiddo.
If you're raped by, you know, a stranger or somebody in your family and you conceive through that, okay, if you don't want the baby, carry it to term and put it up for adoption.
Here
there
are
plenty of couples mm-hmm. out
there. Applause for Ellen.
There you go.
Yes.
You know
yes,
something, Brian? I've wrestled with this all of my adult life. I've killed people as a soldier. Now, they weren't innocent any more than I was innocent because I was a soldier. I mean, they had machine
right.
guns and assault rifles and hand grenades and RPGs and everything else. They could have killed me just like I killed them. Okay?
Right.
I've wrestled with this all of my life. You know, but there's
mm-hmm.
a distinction between an innocent life and a combatant. It just ain't the same thing. And that's why I think your previous caller who left us was so reluctant to even term the child in the womb human. Because it's easy to kill people when you don't think they're human. Or you frame
right.
them as not being human.
I think
it shows to a degree her conscience. She has to wrestle with the fact that she supports abortion, but yet and still I think the only way she can reconcile it is to say, well, what's being killed is just a mass of cells that isn't human.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and this is what we're getting to when we have this debate and this discussion.
Right.
Lives are taken all the time. Sometimes you do it as a result of justifiable homicide. In my case, as a soldier or a police officer,
mm-hmm.
I almost did it as a police officer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It is a dilemma we all have to reckon with. But I think for most of us, with any sort of moral and ethical sense, innocence is where we draw the line with deliberate killing. intentional killing. And nothing can be more innocent than a baby or a child in the womb. Nothing is more helpless.
I agree.
And I think that's why we're having all this discussion with this going back and forth and people bringing up technicalities for this, that, and the other. And like I said, that's why I want to bring it to the end result. What is the end result of every single successful abortion? A dead human being. Every time. It's not like when you own a gun, you can put it in your closet for 100 or 200 years and nobody gets killed with it. Every successful abortion ends a human life. Everyone.
Yeah.
There's no way around it.
Well, even an unsuccessful abortion, that abortion didn't take.
And that's why we're saying if it's going to be resolved, the issue, if it's going to be resolved, it needs to be resolved where the Constitution says it should be resolved, and that's in the states.
Right. I do agree with that. And Ellen, well said, man. Well said, Ellen. I'm so proud of you. Well said.
Thank you. I'm against, Brian, I'm against abortion, too. Okay?
Right.
You know, but like I said, okay, if there's something wrong with the mother or there's something wrong with the baby, those are exceptions. Okay? And even if a woman was raped by, you know, a stranger or a family member, like I said, if you don't want to keep your child, carry it to term if you're able to, and put it up for adoption, because there are plenty of couples out there that cannot have their own children.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Wow, look at that.
And by the way,
he gets a standing ovation.
Brian, I am all for doing what we used to do once upon a time in this country. We used to execute rapists fairly frequently. I would have no problem with restoring the death penalty for a rapist. None.
Yeah, neither would I.
No problem whatsoever. We used to do it once upon a time. It was fairly common for men particularly to get the death penalty for raping a woman.
Yep.
Well, see, it's a little complicated now in
2021. Yeah, I don't know why they stopped it. You know, if you're gonna force yourself on a woman to the point where you traumatize her for life and possibly kill her, then your ass needs to be killed too.
Okay. Well, listen, it's complicated. Because back in the day, it was cut and dry. But now, there's so many rules that these women are saying, if you look at them sideways, they're going to sue you for sexual harassment. And there's so many women out there who will accuse a man of rape. There's cases where she's coming on to him, he's actually inside of her, and I'm one of these people, as soon as a woman says no, that's it, it ends it. I don't care. I don't care if she already has
three
orgasms.
Well, Brian, obviously, I'm not about to say every single man who's even guilty of rape should be executed.
Right.
It all depends on the circumstances, of course, and the evidence presented at trial. So I hope you don't think I'm making a blanket statement. Accused of rape, convicted of rape, executed. No, I'm not anymore than I am for murder. Not everybody who's guilty of murder should be executed either. You know, everything is done on case by case according to the circumstances. But to have the penalty available in those certain cases, yes, I am completely for that. I wish a restoration of it. The last man that was executed purely for rape was Carol Chessman in 1956, and we haven't done it since. And by the way, he was a white man. He wasn't a black man. He was a white man. He got executed for rape in 1956. Mr. Megan says, so Joy Reid, just listen up. Listen up, Joy Reid. The last man executed for rape in the United States was a white man in 1956. Okay? Calm down.
You know, the show is over, but we always end the show with a weird-ass news story. True, and it's weird-ass. All I got to say is, you got to love the Haitians. You only been here for about maybe a week. Here's what they did. This came down wire 2 minutes ago. Here's the headline. Haitian migrants, okay? They're in custody, and they hijacked multiple buses. All right, so here it is. We're putting the Haitians on the bus to transport them wherever. But the Haitian says, fuck this shit, and they hijacked the bus. Not just one bus, but a lot of buses. Now we've got Haitians driving a bus, getting the hell out of Dodge. Where are they going? And do they even have a driver's license? Here's the story.
Where
did Del Rio.
Okay, Brian, I'm back.
Big crime,
I was talking.
I don't have a license.
Brian, I'm back. I had to take a phone call from Bill.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome back. Welcome back, kiddo. Well, you missed a headline story because this is our exit news story. So for the goodness of the American citizens' hearts, you know, we're going to transport the Haitians. And they decide to hijack the bus. Not just one bus. They're hijacking four or five buses. And they're driving down the street. The Haitians are hijacking the buses. Where are they going? Okay, well,
did you hear about the ones that were trying to get back on the plane? They were deported and they were trying to get back on the plane.
Really?
Yeah, they were trying to get back on the plane to come back over here.
Hey, Brian, I can guarantee you those Haitians hijacked the bus are exactly the ones you don't want to let into the country.
Exactly. They're already doing criminal shit, and they just got here.
Yeah, I guarantee you, those are the ones you definitely want to keep out.
I know. Oh, that's carjack. Wait a minute. Where's Biden? Well, here we go.
We're trying to help your ass, and you're going to carjack us?
They got no legal right to be in the country in the first place. Well, we going to bogart us to citizenship.
Well, here it is.
They try to make this analogy between, like, when Santa Anna, the dictator of Mexico, invited those Scotch-Irish Texans into Mexico to settle places that they couldn't get Mexicans to go into because the Mexicans were scared of the Comanche and the other Indians there. And they didn't want to take no – but, you know, crazy Anglos, insane as they are, oh, hell yeah, you going to give us land? Yeah, we'll go. Okay, so they went there. But remember, Santa Anna invited them in there. He invited them in there after he made certain assurances to them, oh, you keep the slaves, stuff like that.
Oh, man.
Okay, so I'm just saying, when people might have made these analogies, these imperfect analogies, you know, you'll go look up the whole history of the thing. You know, yeah, we know slavery was bad and all, but when you make a commitment to somebody, you keep the slaves, that wasn't the only thing. That wasn't the only thing that he contracted with them for. If they would just settle the land so the Indians couldn't take it over, because that's what he wanted them there for. He wanted to have the land settled so Indians wouldn't take it, and they couldn't get Mexicans to go because they were scared of the Indians, not these crazy Anglos. They take on polar bears. So they went there and rattlesnakes, polar whatever. So they went there and settled on their behalf. And lo and behold, Santa Anna kind of violated what he said he'd do. And next thing you know, oh, too bad. Now, it'd be different if they invited the Haitians and said, okay, you're going to get citizenship. And then they don't give them citizenship. And I can see their gripe. We're telling them, don't come into the country. You got no right to come unless you go through a consulate and apply for a visa. That's standard procedure everywhere in the world.
Oh, I know. But, you know, it's like, why do you – here's the story. You got to hear it just a little bit. It's just said that the Haitian migrants in federal custody have hijacked multiple buses during transport rides and forced out drivers in an incident that threatened to stop the U.S. government immigration enforcement operations. They've been basically overpowering the drivers, and they actually hijacked a couple of buses and driven them down the road a little ways and escaped. This happened multiple times, said the federal government. All right, y'all, let's get the hell out of here. I mean, the incident has occurred aboard the boarded up school buses and commercial coach buses transporting Haitian immigrants or migrants to the camp. Well, they're moving them, but they're not shackled. They're not restrained in any way. Yesterday, some detainees kicked a window out, and 22 escaped. Now they're going to start doing high-risk escorts. You know, now they're running around loose in Texas. I don't know if you want to be running around loose in Texas if you're Haitian. You should really do your history about Texas. Them white people carry guns. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Maybe California, you could probably get an agent. But Texas, you should do your history about, like you're saying, Santa Ana and remember the Alamo? It's just kind of risky.
That's fair, man. So, Julie,
kind of
I mean,
risky.
You know, this oh, look, Democrats want undocumented Democrats to become documented Democrats in the future. They're gambling on the fact that packing this country with illegal aliens will yield a bumper crop of Democrat voters in the future. They're looking at the long term. That is clear as a bell. There can be no doubt about it whatsoever. It isn't about humanitarian impulses or any damn thing else. Nobody admits more refugees into this country than the United States. No one in the world. It is simply about a chance to remake the country in a Democrat image so there'll be the permanent power, one-party state, party power from now on into infinity.
And that's what the Republicans are worried about. Yeah, you're right. That's what the Republicans are worried about.
Of course, they got Vichyite Republicans that go along with it, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just scummy as a Democrat.
We're going to leave it on that note. And this is Brian Hammer Jackson, the scummy Democrat, is talking to you now. And I hope you join us next week. Jesus, Sarge. I want to thank Sarge for coming in the studio today. It's always been a pleasure. Thank you, Sarge. I want to thank Fuck You Joe coming in the studio. And, of course, Mr. King Webb, King of Kings, and Miss Lisa in the studio. And, of course, our lovely Ellen. And Angela, thank you for coming in the studio. And we have 8 other people. I did not open your phones. There's a reason why. There's a reason why we're the number one Drive Time show on Blog Talk Radio, baby, Brian Hammer Jackson, along with Mr. Sarge and Miss the Queen, Ellen Johnson. We'll see you guys hopefully tomorrow. Sarge, thank you for coming in. It's always been a pleasure, my friend. It's always a pleasure. Oh,
I love the conversation, Brian. Even when we don't agree, it's always great.
It's always great, right? We could disagree but still have a good little conversation, right? And it's nice to do that. And I like to see the other side. I try to look at the other side, and there's a reason why you feel so strongly about it. And that's why the conversation is good, because nobody's really going to, you know, trying to hurt anybody. And I like to thank Houston for coming in and letting us know his mom's going to be in concert. 80
it's
years
Houston,
old woman.
It's Heston. It's
Heston. I'm sorry, Heston. Her mother is 80-year-old woman, and she's having a concert. That should be interesting. I will be there if it was in California. You guys be safe, whatever you think.
Wait, hold on, Brian. You know who's – I think it was it's either yesterday or today. Okay, you remember the song, "Oh, Mickey, you're so fine, you're so fine, you blow my mind."
Yes.
Mickey.
Hey, Mickey. Yeah.
Tony Basil. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess how old she is.
Oh, God. Let me guess. I would say 78.
Anybody else care to guess?
Well, Sarge is
the age of whom?
Tony Basil.
I remember one of those women got a young looking mother. I think he's 72.
Wow.
Miss Lisa?
Oh, she left, kiddo. It's just us.
Oh, okay. Nope, both of you are wrong. This woman is 89 years old.
Wow.
Good for her. Good for her.
89.
God bless. God
I love
bless
that.
Which Brian, do you realize that she was in her 40s, her mid-40s, when she did Mickey?
Well, good for her. You're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Mickey. Yeah. Why not?
Yep.
Right? Yeah, I like that song. You
like
know
Sophia
what?
Well, Loren. Look how long she stayed fine, man.
Does she die finally, or is she still living?
No, she's
yeah,
still
Sophia
around.
Loren.
She's still around.
Really?
I thought she was dead.
No, Sophia Loren's not dead. No.
Really?
It's
well,
like
she
92,
was fine.
I think she's about 92, I think.
Wow.
Damn. I mean, Betty White's older than Sophia Loren. Oh, my God. Betty White's like 96, 97, 98, something like that.
And
yeah,
Betty
yeah.
White was fine at her day, too. She was a fine little.
Oh, yeah. Man. A lot of them were more hot when they were younger, man. Really.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to leave you with Ellen's song, Hey Mickey, and see you guys tomorrow. Thank you, Sarge, for coming in. It's always a pleasure. All right, Ellen, here you go.
Yep.
I'll see you guys tomorrow on Brian and Hammer Jackson Show. Bless her. Hey, Mickey. Yeah, baby. All right, everybody. Have a great day.
I like that song.
I do, too.
Oh, by the way, Brian, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Yeah, what are you going to be talking about tomorrow?
You know, whatever I think about, when I do it this early, I end up changing it because the news is changing so rapidly. What's happening tomorrow is that a lot of people took, tomorrow's Friday,
isn't it?
Thursday?
Yeah.
Today's Thursday.
I think so. Okay.
They have all these Republicans, including Marjorie Greene and Giuliani. They gave a disposition about the stolen election, and they asked them point blank, "Do you think the election was a fraud? And do you think it was stolen?" And they said no. Now, this is all in a deposition. The left-wing news media is trying to get the deposition. Meanwhile, the news article came out that Trump knew that it was a lie, that it was stolen. He knew it was. He knew there was nothing going on. But Rudy Giuliani says, fuck this shit. Let's keep it up and say that it was stolen. And they went along with it. And so that just came out. The news just broke that Trump knew that it was all a lie. And so they're waiting for the deposition tomorrow, putting people, swearing people in that admit that there was no fraud going on. And a lot of Republicans are going to fall because they have this Arizona audit that's going on that's supposed to come out today that they're redoing the elections, proving that it was fraud and all that kind of thing. It was performed by the Pillow Man. So they're making their announcement today. So there's a lot of crap going on. So I don't know. I'm going to probably talk about that, and by tomorrow we'll have more on a disposition.
Don't forget, Brian, there's also the Georgia audit that reveals no chain of custody for 400,000 ballots. Even if they were legitimately cast without a chain of custody, they're not supposed to be considered.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is the audit shows that they were there. And so no matter what, no matter what Giuliani may or may not have said, if the audit are legitimate and they show something funky with the election, I don't care what he says or what he said. I'm concerned about a legitimate audit that shows shenanigans with the election. But I just want to ask you another question, too. Have you spoken about Miley and the innumerable articles of the Uniform Code of Military Justice you could charge this bastard with based on what we know?
Well, we'll talk about that, too, because of the perils on what he said in the book, Woodward.
Oh, man. This guy, I identified at least 15 to 20 articles of the Uniform Code of Military Justice he could be legitimately charged with to include mutiny and sedition.
Yeah, that's what's going on right now. Rubio is, and a lot of other Republicans are saying that he should be fired. We'll talk about that, too, because we'll talk about the book.
Court-martialed. They ought to have the Article 32 hearing is a grand jury equivalent in the military to indict charge for a general court-martial. You got to have an Article 32 hearing first, and where they determine probable cause to move to a general court-martial. And then you convene an Article 32 hearing. The problem is he's the highest-ranking officer in the United States Armed Forces. He has three people commanding him. And usually court-martials are convened by commanders. His first commander is the President of the United States. Second commander is Secretary of Defense. Third commander would be Secretary of the Army. And that's it.
Which is right.
Because he's got nobody else over him.
Two of them are Democrats.
The President or the Secretary of Defense would have to ask for the JAG to appoint a JAG officer to convene an Article 32 hearing, and that's the problem. It'll never be done because the Biden administration is utterly, completely, and totally corrupt.
Well, Biden already said that he has complete confidence in Milley.
Yes.
So that's not going to—he's not going to be. You're right. You know, he's a commander of—he's commander of chief. So that's not going to happen.
And you're not going to have a general court martial without an Article 32 convened by
that's
the commander.
True.
And he's got nobody else that's over him except those three people. He's the highest-ranking officer in the armed forces. But at the same time, he doesn't have operational control of any unit in the armed forces other than the people who work directly for him, secretaries, stenographers, guards at the door, and the like. He has no command authority over anyone. He's the advisor to the president and the advisor to the National Security Council. And this guy, apparently, from the reports, was giving orders to people, other officers, to ignore the protocol for the launching of nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
If this is true, this is unprecedented in the history of the United States. Unprecedented.
Right, he admitted. You're right. And he admitted that he had no authority regarding the decision regarding launching a nuclear weapon or not when he called the Joint of Chiefs in that room. So
It's going to be
interesting.
And now he's also verified that he had this conversation with his Chinese general counterpart of his.
Right.
I mean, was he making foreign policy now and strategy for the United States to give advance warning to a potential adversary? For God's sake, where in God's name could he possibly imagine he had the authority to do this?
Okay, but you also remember, it was fine for Trump to go and spread all of our foreign policy all over social media.
Good point. And not to mention Russia and North Korea, and not to mention Trump invited the Russians into the White House and laughed at Comey.
Yeah,
and he was telling
them
about our foreign policy.
That's all okay. That's all okay, right?
So
that's all okay.
Things may or may not be okay, but the President of the United States is not prohibited by law from doing the things he did on Twitter and social media. The Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is prohibited by law passed by Congress in 1948 to do the kind of things he did. There's a specific statute that prohibits him from doing it. And he apparently violated it.
And the other note is that when everything is confidential or even under classified information, the president can decide to go public with it and make it unclassified. So
exactly.
he's not privy to breaking the law.
And if you think it's unwise, don't vote for him.
That's true.
That's the way it's supposed to work. If you think his policies are unwise, you're supposed to bring it up in Congress. Congress can do what they do to either circumvent or short-circuit him. The pressure from the public can be one thing, like we're trying to do with Biden at the border. That's all open and above board. That's understood. He can be unwise, but the chairman of the joint staff can do things that are insubordinate, a violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice and of statute law, and apparently this guy did all of them. Let's see.
Yeah, but then you have to question what he did stopped a nuclear war in a war with the Chinese.
Now, wait a minute.
So was it warranted?
Is there any evidence of this?
Was it warranted?
Where is there any evidence that Trump had any such intention? I'd like to hear it if there was.
Well,
I'm not saying it wasn't. I don't know, but I'd like to see this evidence if there was.
Right.
And what
they're
doing colluding with Nancy Pelosi, expressing contempt toward a public official by agreeing with her when she said he was crazy. That's another violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
He's a little crazy. You got to admit he's batshit crazy.
He may be, but the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff ain't supposed to agree with the Speaker of the House not in a conversation. That's a violation of the Uniform Code of Military. He's a four-star general.
I know.
Live in a banana republic. Not yet.
Save your energy for tomorrow. We'll talk about it.
Man. I mean, it just ain't the same thing as, like, the Speaker of the House saying he's crazy.
All right. We'll talk about peril tomorrow. All right, guys. And in the meantime, be safe. Drink some tea, Sarge. Relax. I'll be on tomorrow.
I will. I'll do what I can, man. But, you know, I love the United States Army, and I hate to see what's happening to it. I love the Army. And I hate to see what they're doing to my Army.
I know. And we'll talk about it. Remember, the only information that we have is what they give us. And it may not be the complete information.
I agree. I'm holding fire in that sense. We may be all being misled. It's Bob Woodward, after all.
True.
And I don't trust that bastard any further than I can throw him.
Okay. On that note, Bob, come on the show. I would love to have you. All right. Ellen, thank you. Thank you, Sarge. And you guys be safe. See you guys tomorrow, 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Be safe, guys. See ya.
Bye.